about.
Come and get some!
Come and get some!
Come and get some!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Would you say that it's a bonus to have a wife that has two vaginas?
Most definitely.
And there's Ed Begley Jr. Aren't you coming, Ed?
I prefer a vehicle that doesn't hurt Mother Earth. It's a go-kart powered by my own sense of self-satisfaction.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
So congratulations to all of us, and may equality live long and prosper.
What's up with the guy with the weird eyes? He handicapped or something?
We believe he's of Korean descent.
I find that offensive.
And now...
Bring it in, morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
You ugly.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Thursday morning. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is you can pick up the phone and give us a call for the Kevin and Bean Thursday edition of What to Do Nephew. Lines are open right now at 1-800-520-1067. Toll-free number. You can call from anywhere you happen to be listening across this great country of ours, and we'll get you on the air, get you a prize. So we got time for a little Bean's Death Corner.
Death Corner.
Bean loves death.
Let's do it.
We're upping the death on this program.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams, hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
And the sooner you call for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, the sooner this story will end. And you may wish that it ends soon. This is my man. This is my new hero. His name is, Bernard Howell, 26 years old, Thurston County, Washington man. Not far from where I live, by the way.
Sure.
And Washington is pretty famous for its serial killers and bizarre death and rituals,
Washington,
as you know.
And Florida. All the crazy people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but it is. Anyway, he's pulled over on Sunday night, and he has the body of a 60-year-old woman in the passenger seat beside him, and wrapped in a sleeping bag. And, she dead. And the first thing I thought when I heard the first line of the story is, well, here's a guy who's trying to take advantage of the carpool lane.
That's what
right?
I thought, yeah. There's two of us. What are you talking about?
Right. But unfortunately, she's dead. And the story that he told the police was that he had found the body on the side of the road, and he had decided he was going to take it upon himself to bury the body to save the family the funeral expenses.
Wow, is he a nice guy.
Wow, is he a liar.
That's a fairly sketchy story,
yeah,
right? That story's got a lot of trouble.
No one is that good.
Find a body on the side of the road, you don't know the body. You don't know the person. You don't know the family. You don't know the circumstances. You certainly are not doing them a favor by going out and burying it without them potentially even knowing that their family member is dead.
His story falls apart at every level.
Yeah. So perhaps, I don't know. Bernard, while you're driving down the road in your pickup truck with the dead woman in your car, maybe you should be thinking of a better story. Maybe you ought to have something kind of on the tip of your tongue for, if and when the police pull you over, right?
Instead of just ad-libbing it at that point?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the type of thing you should think ahead for.
I found her on the side of the road. Yeah, it just sounds like he was making it up as he went. There's no possible way that any part of that story is true.
Well, as details were unveiled about the story, it turned out that he had flagged down another car to ask for help in getting – this is how dumb this guy is. He finds the body on the side of the road, can't pick her up and put her in the car himself, flags down another motorist to help him move the body. And the other motorist did, and then immediately called 911 and said, this crazy guy just helped me pick a body up on the side of the road. So he basically turned himself in, right?
But
wait, now
I'm confused because I didn't trust any of his story. I didn't think there was a body on the side of the road.
There was.
I thought he killed someone.
We don't know if he killed someone or not. But, the story does continue. It does turn out that the woman was murdered. It does turn out that she had been stabbed to death. Now, whether he did it or not, or whether he really did find the body on the side of the road, we don't know. We do know that it's a stupid-ass move to flag another motorist down to ask for help in moving a body, right?
Yeah, if I see the body is dead, I'm going to go ahead and move along as there's not much I can do. I might call 911,
Okay, well, that's where you and Bernie are different, because when Mr. Howell was in court yesterday, he revealed that he not only did not move along and say goodbye to the 60-year-old woman, he, in fact, had sex with her also.
He admitted that?
Yes, he did.
In court?
Yes, he did.
Okay, wait a minute.
Now, I don't know the timeline. I don't know if he had sex with her at the side of the road, or if he had sex with her in the truck, or if he had sex with her at some other location and then killed her.
There's only
we don't know if she was dead or not when he did that.
No, he did. He said she was already dead when he did.
Wow!
I know. It just gets better and better, right?
No,
now you see why I love death so much.
What the hell?
Wait. So his last name is Howell, and it's in Thurston County?
Yes, that's an excellent point,
good
Gilligan.
Point.
Thank you. Thank
that's
you very
what
much.
What you get out of a man having sex with
that's
a dead woman.
What are the chances?
He's looking past all that nasty sex with a corpse thing, and look at how crazy it is. Gilligan's
how does
Island
that
diet.
Happen? How does somebody get to a point in their life where that to them, you know, any of us drive by, we see a dead body by the side of the road, except for Psycho Mike. We would all, none of us would, it would even pop into our head to have sex with her.
Hold on.
And
a
then
sec.
You go, oh no,
but she
that's
is a
bad
sprightly
idea.
60.
Yeah, whoa, it depends. It depends.
Well,
it depends. Is it Megan Fox?
Sure.
Well, and how long has she been dead? We've had that discussion
that
before.
That doesn't matter. Yeah,
she could have been dead killed? 3 minutes. You know. Well, anyway, the last part of the story is, and I love this, is that the Seattle television station KIRO, they caught up with the dad of the man, and here's tell me if this is just denial or shock or what. He says, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I'm extremely shocked, and I'm trying to come to grips with it. I would say he was a regular American boy who got involved with a circle of drug users and just snapped. Because we know that all drug users go out and have sex with dead bodies.
They do. That happens, yeah. That's a true fact.
Smoke a little pot, next thing you know, necrophilia all over the damn
but
place.
But what are you supposed to do if you're this dude's parents? They ask you about him, and they tell you the story. You know what he did.
Yeah.
Even leading with he's a good kid. You must just feel like an idiot.
Yeah, there's no place really to go. There's not much you can say
I'm
about
sure
you.
When
he was
listen,
10, he was a good kid.
There are good things about every person. But then you do something that probably overwhelms all of that. And then you're known for that you're the dude that picked up the woman that was dead and had sex with her.
I know. You have sex with one corpse and all of a sudden everybody judges you, man.
Well, that's the way the society is.
Anyway, Bernie Howell, yes, Mike, Thurston County, that is Bean's Death Corner for today.
Oh, Bean loves death, oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
How about that?
That is amazing.
There's so many stories that you go, you couldn't make this up, and if you were writing a screenplay, you wouldn't put that in because it's not believable.
Because no one would believe it.
No one would ever believe it.
Yeah, true.
Do we have time for the Double Rainbow Guy song?
You missed it?
Well, we haven't played it enough. And I can't figure out why.
It's a great song.
Let's play that.
All right.
We will take your calls if you have something interesting to say. 1-800-520-1067. We need something interesting, though. I'm not just going to go to the phone and say, hey, how's it going? And you go, fine. So, you know, something interesting. But I want to play this because it has been too long.
Okay.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow.
It's my ringtone.
Double rainbow, oh my god, double rainbow, it's a double rainbow all the way down, it's a double rainbow all the way down, oh my god, what does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid, double rainbow, it's so dense, dense, what does this mean? It's starting to look like a triple rainbow, that's a whole rainbow now. Rainbow I've ever seen.
Get that on iTunes.
It's the best.
Yep. Made it my ringtone. Love that. All right. We can take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
A Kevin and Bean t-shirt is the prize today, and we'll give one out to Brooke, who is on line three, joining us on the show. Hey, Brooke, thanks for calling in. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hi. I went to the taping of The Price is Right last week, and Drew Carey looks awesome.
Yeah, he's lost three people.
Yeah.
And by awesome, you mean awful.
No, but he does look totally different.
He doesn't look like himself.
Uh-uh. Not at all.
But kind of in a bad way.
Well,
he lost a lot of weight, and I don't know. He looks sickly.
He's pretty thin.
We really like him. He's a really, really genuinely great, good guy.
Yeah.
But
super skinny.
Yeah, he looks like too skinny. He's AIDS-y.
You know, I want my comedians fat, and he is AIDS-y. You're right.
I don't think that's a word. He is, though. You look at him and
is that just because we're used to him being so
maybe
big?
But I think if you met him on the street and you'd never met him before, you would think that guy looks pale and too thin. He looks unwell.
He never what, Brooke?
No. You think of Drew Carey and you think chubby.
Of
like
course,
Drew Carey show.
Of course.
Well, maybe if we gave him a tan.
Canned AIDS-y.
Yeah, a little GTL.
A little GTL.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Remember when what did he do? He hurt himself and texted us a picture of it? What was that, B?
Yeah,
he did. He
can't remember.
Cut his hand or his foot or something. It was pretty serious. He got a pretty serious injury, and he texted us a photo of it, but I don't remember what the part was, but he apparently is fine now.
He's like, yeah, I'll show you a photo. It was awesome. he's a bizarre guy, but really, really just genuinely nice.
Super nice.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Tell the world. Tell this to everybody wherever they are.
I don't know that it's that good. John Henson will be on the program talking about Wipeout.
Oh, I love that show so much.
Me too. People falling is always funny. And since I fall a lot, I enjoy it.
I
enjoy
watching
it.
I don't care how bad my day is. If I sit down and watch that show, I am the happiest girl in the world.
Yeah. found out you had a relative in porn today.
That also makes me really happy.
Sure.
It's weird.
Dr. Drew will be on the program today. We talk to him every Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Not a real doctor.
I believe he is.
I'm not sure.
We have Joe Rogan in the studio talking about some comedy, talking about UFC 118.
He's great.
He's always the best. Yep. And we've got a new internet roundup for you, and we've got some smokeout tickets for you. We're going to give you a chance to win those coming up in about 20, 25 minutes here.
Excellent.
The Ralph Showbiz Beat is next. We'll take a quick break.
Cypress Hill, by the way, one of the great live bands playing today. They're so, so good. And this show that they put together for Smokeout 2010 is awesome, including Incubus, Slightly Stupid, and more. October 16th at the NOS Event Center. If you want to go, you have to earn your tickets. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be playing a brand new game. We don't even know what this game is. We have a mystery guest stopping by, Kevin, who's going to play a brand new game with us here in about 10 minutes. We don't even know what it is yet. So we'll find out. But if you want to participate, 1-800-520-1067. We'll have to put you on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll play just after the top of the hour. It's Thursday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, despite what you may have heard yesterday on the internet and in the news, Sandra Bullock is not the most forgiving woman in the world.
Uh-oh.
Photographers caught Jesse James last Monday in Long Beach, California, walking along the Strand with a brunette that, from a distance, maybe if you squinted your eyes and cocked your head a little bit and then, I don't know, threw some sand in your eyes, maybe looked like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
So people were saying, oh, they're getting back together again. She's giving him a second chance. And this was all over the internet yesterday. Turns out the brunette he was spotted with was not his estranged wife, Sandra Bullock. It was another young lady named Hildy Kataba.
Hildy Kataba.
Kataba. She is the head of a company called Pay Up Sucker Productions. Apparently, her company is linked to Jesse's West Coast Choppers business, so TMZ has gotten to the bottom of the story, and it was not, indeed, Sandra Bullock that Jesse was hanging out with earlier in the week. It was a different brunette, so everyone can just exhale.
If they were to be photographed together, there are a number of reasons they could be, including the fact that they have, you know, kids together, essentially.
Well,
yeah, more or less.
It's possible they'll be in the same room at some point. It doesn't mean they have to be reconciling. But people do. All they need is a photo to create an entire story. That's for sure.
Never actually had a kid together.
But you know what I'm saying? They were together when they adopted Lewis.
Yeah.
So Jesse would like to continue to see him. So it's It's possible that they'll be together at some point.
I'm guessing she would not like to see him so much, though.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. That's
doesn't seem like there's much of a chance of that.
No.
You cheated on your wife?
Yep.
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 Red.
You may remember the story I told you where Sofia Vergara and the producers of Modern Family took out a big ad in the trade papers, which is what the show business people call the Daily Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, saying if she won an Emmy, she would streak naked down Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
And we all said, give that woman an Emmy.
Let's give her an Emmy right now.
Well, Sofia may be backing off that statement a little bit now.
What?
Turns out she says that would be less than advisable for her because she's got bad knees.
That's the reason. Yeah,
you won't
reason.
Look.
Look.
Not bad to look at knees. Her knees hurt her.
Then let her walk. Fine.
Put her in a golf cart.
Right.
I don't care.
Fine.
I don't want to see you naked in a golf cart. Can we have something sexier than that? Can we have
well,
like
I prefer a pogo stick, but...
Segway.
Doesn't matter.
Segway's not sexier, Mike. I'm thinking like a, you know, like a drop top 55 Cadillac convertible or something. Her sitting in the back like a prom queen. Like one of those parades where people go
Fine.
Down there and wave to the audience.
I don't care what she's in. It's just her without clothes, I think, is the important part.
Well, I'm saying she's probably not going to do it. No. The ad did say, by the way... cast member due to change.
So, and no one wants to see Manny naked.
Charlie Sheen got out of his legal problems and told the judge he'd spend the next 30 days in rehab. Well, In Touch Weekly is reporting maybe he got a little lost on the way because he was spotted at the Playboy Mansion last weekend.
Well,
you can be sober there.
Sure, they encourage it.
Yeah.
There's no alcohol there whatsoever. Certainly no hose.
It's a well-known rehab facility.
It is, yes.
A lot of people don't know that.
Hef puts you in PJs and cleans you out. I don't even know what that means. And Jennifer Aniston may be just the best friend in the world. She is continually coming to the aid of her good girlfriend, Courtney Cox's crappy shows. You may remember when she had that show Dirt on FX.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
Horrible show. And Jennifer Aniston... came by and did a little guest spot for her to boost ratings a touch. Not that it helped, but right. Apparently it's been confirmed that Jennifer will do another guest shot on Courtney's new show, Cougar Town.
Right.
Over there on ABC.
It's a reunion.
It is. It's a friends reunion.
It's a friends reunion.
Call your friends and neighbors.
We've all been waiting for this.
You know, Schwimmer's going, what about me? I was on that show.
Still whining.
I think Lisa's people are starting to win.
Oh, what? No, don't say that.
Tell me.
Another day, another Broadway musical based on a big hit movie.
Wow. Now what?
Elf, apparently.
Come on, that'd be great.
I loved Elf.
Elf is going to be a big Broadway musical production on The Great White Way.
Is Will Ferrell going to star in it?
No, sir.
Then I'm out.
He will not. The central roles of the elf and his love interest, played by Will Ferrell and Zooey Deschanel in the original film, have yet to be nailed down, but they have cast Santa Claus. The role of Santa, played brilliantly, I believe, by Ed Asner, if I'm not mistaken, in Elf. Am
was
I
it
right?
Ed Asner or was it Bob Newhart?
Ralph, you can't use that language.
What?
You can't say
I'm sorry, I thought
the
that
S
was
word.
I thought that was an elf word.
No, no.
No?
No.
No. All right.
That's a human curse word.
I don't know who played it in the movie. I believe it was Ed Asner. Okay. I may be wrong.
You're probably right. But who's? Do we know the... do we recognize the name of the actor who's playing on stage?
Easy. Steady. Wait
Just
for
asking.
It. It's coming. Start the story by saying that was cast. Relax.
Okay. Who played it in the movie? Who played it in the movie before? What is his
Here
name
we
now?
Go. The guy on stage in the Broadway musical playing Santa Claus will be George Wendt. Our old-time Norm from Cheers. Norm!
Makes sense.
He'll be playing Santa. He's sure fat enough.
Yeah.
If he doesn't drop dead on stage.
Drew Carey's like, oh, I only held on to that weight. It could have been me. No, not to be all skinny and AIDS-y. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
He doesn't have AIDS, by the way, people. That's just a made-up word.
What?
I'm just, you know how people half listen and they go, you'll never believe what Ralph said on the radio
station.
I'm
just saying what you said. You told me he had AIDS.
It looked AIDS-y. Was
Kevin
story.
Told that's me he saying. Wanted to box Drew Carey. I couldn't believe
what's
it.
What's wrong with you?
Drew Carey versus Kevin Ryder. That's the undercard just before he fights Michael Clark Duncan.
Kevin's going to have a busy two fights
night.
In a row?
You're going to have a busy night, my friend. Maggie Lawson. Very talented actress, very funny over on Psych. She's 30 years old.
Belle,
today.
No Belle? I don't know her.
Yeah, Bellish.
All right.
Bellish?
I think she's Bellish.
All right.
Light one.
Casey Affleck, very talented actor, brother, of course, of Ben Affleck. Better actor than Ben is. He's 35 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart.
Ooh.
Yeah. She's
worst 30. Sex video ever.
He's 39 years old. Not a good sex video.
No.
And he's not particularly a good driver either.
No.
Remember that story. Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
Funny
man. He's 39 years old today. Actor Peter Krause, who of course made his bones on 6 Feet Under. No pun intended. And then now is the star of Parenthood over there on NBC. He's 45 years old today. And rapper Sir Mix-a-Lot is 47 years old today. Sir Mix-a-Lot, as you may remember, gave us Baby Got Back.
Sure.
Not Baby Got Back. I Like Big Butts. Well, what the hell was it? Baby Got Back, right?
Baby Got Back.
Yeah. Baby Got Back, yeah.
Well, he's back, I'll have you know, in a brand new version of that song, celebrating the Butterfinger.
Yeah, it's weird.
What do you mean?
I like big Butterfingers, and I cannot lie.
It's really weird.
It's awesome.
We have the
Butterfinger Defense League.
We have the Internet Roundup coming up in about a half hour. You'll hear it.
Butterfinger Defense League.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno, Eric Estrada, and Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah.
Creating a team of superheroes to protect your Butterfinger, people.
Why are Butterfingers in danger? You can buy them in any store.
No, they're getting stolen,
people,
man.
Will steal them.
Nobody
better lay a finger on my Butterfinger. That's what I say.
Wow. Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our friend Dr. Drew stops by for his weekly visit later on today. And Joe Rogan, who, by the way, had a birthday yesterday. Dave, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for the heads up on Ralph Showbiz Beat yesterday about Joe Rogan's birthday. Let's not mention that.
Or did he?
Is that Keanu Reeves?
It is.
Yes.
Keanu, what are you doing here?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Why, though, was the question.
Why are any of us here?
Keanu's here.
That's the big question, isn't it?
We all have
to look inside ourselves and decide why we're here.
He's been helping us give away our tickets to the Smokeout.
Right.
Or have I?
You have been, yeah.
Yes.
All week long, we've been giving away tickets. Incubus is going to play Slightly Stupid, Cypress Hill, and more. It's October 16th at the NAS Event Center. And
yes.
Apparently, you're not happy with the games
I've been hosting your games this week.
Right.
And they have all had something to do with Smokeout.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I took it upon myself to bring in my own game today, hoping that I could do a game that I'm proud of, not one of your games that are horrible.
Our games are not all horrible.
Yes.
Oh.
Or are they?
Well, I thought some of them were good.
Yes.
How does yours work, Keanu?
Mine is a game that I will ask a question, and then you need to give me an answer.
Okay, that is unique.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know you had me host Famous Smokes earlier this week.
We did,
right? Yes.
Horrible.
Well, it wasn't the best game we've ever done.
So I've done a game where I sat down and I have used my own personal knowledge to write questions for people to answer.
Okay.
Okay.
And it has to do with Smokeout.
Okay.
And the game is called The Answer Is Out.
Out, out, the answer is out. All you have to do is answer out. The answer is out, come on.
Yeah.
You'll go see smoke out.
Now,
out,
yes.
Yeah. Not out.
Yeah.
The answer is out.
Why would it be over? Now, are you suggesting that the answer to all of the questions is the word out? If so, why play the game?
Ah, that's the question. Or are they?
Okay, well, let's just see how it goes. We'll
My
take
new
them in
game,
order.
The answer is out.
Okay,
the answer is out.
Out.
Right, okay.
Smoke out.
We're going to start with Shane on line one. Shane, do you believe we've done enough explanation on how the game is played?
Hello, Shane.
Ah, or is he?
Hello, Shane. Going once, going twice.
Steven is on line two. Steven joins us on the Kevin
Show.
This
game is hard. That first person couldn't even win.
Wasn't even
much harder than I expected. Steven, are you ready to play?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right, Steven, here's your question. In baseball, three strikes and you are...
out.
Yes! How does he do it?
That's amazing.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Yeah. Starting with a tough one.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to get that one either. Let's try Steve now, line three. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play The Answer Is Out?
Yes, or am I?
Are you? Excellent. Excellent. When someone is openly gay, they can sometimes be considered this.
Out.
Yes!
How does he do it?
That's good contestants.
Excellent.
Good contestants.
Right. These are good questions.
You have
too.
Smart listeners.
Yeah.
Chris is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, ready to play?
Yes.
Or are you?
Oh, I am.
Okay. When a fire is completely extinguished, firemen often say it is this.
out.
Correct.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow, you do have good games, Keanu.
Thank you. I'm very proud of
this. They got them all so far. It's amazing. Sean is next. Hey, Sean, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. The answer is out. You're on with Keanu.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
In boxing, when a fighter is rendered unconscious, it's called a KO or knock.
Out.
Yes!
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Really great.
They're see, on fire your listeners today. Get You're my right. questions.
You're right. I thought, you know, what if the guy's not a sports fan? Maybe he won't get that one, but that was very well done, Keanu. Excellent work. Let's try Chris next. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. You ready to register for smokeout tickets?
I don't know. Seems pretty tough.
Well, all right. Listen carefully. Occasionally, you use a door marked exit to go here.
Out.
Out. Yes.
How did you know
Another
that?
Good.
I don't think we've ever had a game where people get so many.
Okay, we just got time for a couple more. How about Tyler next? Hey, Tyler, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. The answer is out. You ready to play?
The answer's out.
Tyler, listen carefully. Wait for me to complete the question, please.
Jump it in like he knows the answer already.
Thank you, Neo.
This is the opposite of in.
Out. Ooh.
Yes!
Out.
Very clever.
Barely had to think about it. See, excellent. I thought that was existential. I thought that would require some real deep thought. One more. This is another Sean. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. O-U-T spells what English word?
Out.
Out! Amazing.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
This is good.
All right. Excellent.
Apparently, everyone is in the drawing, Lisa, but
or
only,
are they?
Yes, they are, but only one can win tickets for the smokeout.
Yes.
Yes, only one.
All right, and the winner is... Tyler!
Yeah!
Or is it?
Tyler, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You got tickets to the smoke
or
out.
Or does he?
He does. That's
yes.
how the game works. Thank you, Keanu. That was a great game. Very nice.
Out, out, the answer is out.
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to be looking for you if you have relatives in the porn business. Been in the news a lot lately because of young Montana Fishburne. Her actor father is Lawrence Fishburne, and that's got to create some different stresses and tensions and something going on in their family, I would imagine.
You don't think Thanksgivings will be normal anymore?
Maybe not. Maybe before the football game, they put in one of Montana's tapes. I don't know. So anyway, we're going to want to hear from you coming up just after the top of the next hour. If you have relatives in porn, what's that all about? That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, how about a fresh new internet roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup
of the best videos that we've seen in a while. A lot of funny ones. There are some that don't have audio, so we're not able to feature them on the radio, but they are up. One is the boyfriend becomes the bailer. I don't know if you've seen this, but baseball game and a foul ball.
Yeah.
And dude jumps right out of the way, so his girlfriend gets hit in the arm.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And it was his misfortune that the baseball announcers had enough time to spend talking about it and immediately gave him the nickname the Baylor. And then they went into their section and interviewed him about what a crappy boyfriend he was for all to see.
It's a close-up. They slowed it down. And by the way, just not to be argumentative, but there's always time to talk about stuff like that in a baseball game.
How dare you.
Woman enraged over McNuggets.
Love her so much.
Is one of the craziest things you'll ever see. You got to go about a minute in, though.
Okay.
She's ordering. She's sitting there at the McDonald's window. It looks like a security camera. And about a minute in, she loses it. Gets out of her car and just all hell breaks loose. So you got to see that.
Well, she wanted McNuggets, and they were only serving the breakfast menu. I think she made some reasonable choices.
Taiwan's take on the Jersey Shore is up there. And the Katy Perry Rolling Stone photo shoot.
God.
That's
yes.
a video that you might want to check out.
Alone.
How many times have you guys seen that?
If
really?
I were you, 5,000.
That's what I thought.
All right. The ones that we have some audio from the other guys, is Pimps Don't Cry.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is CeeLo Green and Eva Mendez, and it is fantastic.
Oh, lover.
Yes, lover.
Look in my eyes, baby.
Mommy, looking in your big brows.
Cry.
Oh, baby, don't cry.
That movie is so funny because Will Ferrell really, really, that's his wife, Eva Mendes, and he just treats her like she's just dog meat.
Yep.
Not in a, like a hurtful way, right, but he's just kind of embarrassed of her, and she's nothing special, and she's way too hot for him.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. And by the way, Will Ferrell, one of the brains behind him and his partner Adam McKay, one of the brains behind the Funny or Die, consistently. I mean, there's no site that puts up more videos that are consistently great than Funny or Die.
Justin Bieber gets nailed by a water bottle. I'm sure you've seen this by now, but if you haven't, it's worth you'll watch it five times in a row. He walks out on stage. He's just trying. Listen, I don't like Justin Bieber. Okay, but he's just trying to walk out and say hi.
Yeah.
And somebody throws a giant water bottle and almost takes his head off. And it's awesome.
But, yeah, I just want to see everybody because I love you guys. But, ow, that didn't feel good. I don't know why she just threw that at me.
Because you're Justin Bieber?
But handled it pretty well considering.
He did.
He didn't cry like a little girl, I'll tell you that.
He really just smacked him.
Wow.
It's good fun. There's a dude that's running for office in the South. I don't even have to tell you he's in the South. His name is Basil Marceau.
Oh, I think he's in Knoxville, Tennessee, I think.
Okay, all right. And I would like to vote for him for president of the United States, and you'll see why.
I want you to put me in this building, the Capitol behind me here, so I can do my issues and make you all more freer than you were yesterday.
See, that guy, he's got it going on. I'd like to be more freer than I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got something going on.
Got my issues.
He's got a series of videos. Apparently, the television stations in Knoxville, they have a policy where they will let every candidate on for a certain amount of time. So everybody who's running for office gets 15 seconds on the TV or something like that, no matter how unqualified or unprofessional they are. And this guy has done some brilliant work so far.
Oh,
doesn't seem like he really rehearses his message before he goes on TV.
And that's just a little clip. It's a lot longer. You have to watch the whole thing because he's magic. You just look at him and go, that guy exists.
I wish I could vote there.
He looks like he's at a central casting, you know, in a movie. There's no way that person really exists. Sir Mix-a-Lot had a birthday today. We were talking about Baby Got Back.
But he ain't gonna let you take your fingers pretty, but he just might break it. You're better off stealing your from a baby, this hooked up fella is crazy.
Nobody gonna lay a finger on my butterfinger.
So, Baby Got Butterfingers.
Yeah.
The name of that one.
Okay.
Well, it's his song to sell, I guess.
Jimmy Kimmel Live this week at Unnecessary Censorship. Again, very, very, very important. These are not curse words. These are regular words, regular stories. They put a beep in to make them sound worse. But they're not what they sound like with the beeping. It's this week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Two of my biggest fears. A great white shark f***ing me or my husband cheating.
How have you guys been f***ing around in the last 2 months?
Very quietly.
Chelsea really came into her own. She discovered the blow d***.
Tonight's Life Changer says you don't need to to find the perfect outfit.
It's a chance to your very own firefighter.
That's always funny.
Those are great.
Will Ferrell, speaking of Funny or Die, doing an NYPD recruitment video.
Come along with me on a journey up inside my and believe me, there's a lot of room. Okay, wait. You may even get a chance to do work undercover, getting close to the criminals and putting their penis in your... Okay, you know, guys, can I be honest? I don't feel supported right now.
He's very funny. And then County Law is the name of a show. And again, hard to believe, the South. It's cops. It's basically cops, which I thought was the South, but this one is even more ghetto.
Okay.
County Law. And they're arresting a woman, and her sister is so excited about the fact that they're going to be on County Law. And unless you know that's what the word she's saying, you could barely understand it. Right. But listen to the sister and how excited she gets that they're actually going to be featured on TV.
Y'all smile pretty for the camera now.
Get out! Get out!
God, shut up, Lois.
Get
Lord.
Get out!
Get your back in here. Sit down, quit acting down, baby.
Get out!
Take
Get
out! Get out!
My sister?
Yo,
Michigan
Avenue.
My sister? Oh, shut up.
Wait to the camera.
Get out! Get out!
That's how excited she is.
She doesn't seem that concerned that her sister is being arrested and let out of their home in handcuffs. She just wants to be on the TV.
Wow.
County Law, County Law. Her sister's like, will you shut up?
Oh, my God.
Isn't she the best? I want her to marry the dude that's running for office, and I want them to be the first, the president and the first lady. That is my world.
Kevin and Bain, Labor Man, Randall.
So Sylvester Stallone goes to India, becomes a Hindi, and then he goes to Indonesia and hooks up with Javier Bardem. What? I don't get what's this Expendables about.
Very different.
Very different.
Oh, this is the one with Jason Statham and Jet Li and Dolph Lundgren and Stone Cold Steve Austin and all those guys. That's the movie we're talking about
Sylvester
now.
Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Bruce Willis. Unbelievable. Oh, speaking of Arnold, that was the surprise. Let's face it. It's amazing that Sylvester Stallone was able to get all these action stars together. But when you see Arnold Schwarzenegger in the preview, you go, isn't that guy busy? Doesn't he have another job? What's going on with that?
There are a lot of people that are picketing the movie because of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah, what do they think is going to happen? That's what I always wonder. Like, he's going to go, oh, okay.
Oh, wait, I forgot I had a job.
Here's some money.
We wanted to find out what's going on with this controversy, and fortunately, we've got a good relationship with the governor of the great state of California, and Mr. Schwarzenegger joins us on the phone right now here on the Kevin Devine program. Hey, Arnold.
982. 983.
How many really?
What?
How many really?
I was just counting the money I had in my wallet.
Oh, I see.
Okay. We thought maybe we were working out.
No,
I guess not.
I was taking a break, letting my pecs rest.
I see. Okay.
Sure. I understand. Well, listen, Governor. Apparently, nearly 100 union members picketed the movie premiere of The Expendables the other night because of your appearance in the movie, saying that the state's in bad shape. You don't have the time to be going off doing movies anymore.
I know. It's incredible. I don't know what these people are thinking. It's there's no reason for them to be so upset about what's going on. You know, I'm guessing they're upset because they have less spending money. Because of the budget issues.
Right.
They're on furlough days, so they don't have as much expendable income. That's hot.
That's not hot.
let's remember that you are working for free. You're saving the state money right there by not taking a salary, too, right?
That's right. The money that I don't take, goes directly into their pockets, either as folding money or change.
I don't think
so. So when they go shopping, their pockets jingle all the way.
Okay. Arnold, we don't have...
That's hot.
We don't want to hear about all your movies. So how much time did you take off from being governor to film your role?
I didn't take any time off.
How'd you do it?
So Sly called me up, said, we want to shoot this scene with you and Bruce Willis and myself. And I said, I don't want to take any time off. Let's do it overnight. So they got the location. It was a church. And we started filming at 4 o'clock in the morning and filmed till 7 o'clock in the morning. So it was on my own time overnight. No time was taken out from my duties as governor.
Okay. Well, you'd think that would appease the protesters then.
I know. I mean, I do so much work. I have so much to do and so little time as governor. Sometimes I wish I was twins. Twice as much work.
Wow.
If I was twins.
We get that you were in a movie called Twins.
Ah,
we get
that. Wow.
And then, if these people are unhappy with my job, maybe they should, have an election where they, pull me out of office. There could be a total recall. That's hot. That's so incredibly hot.
It's not hot.
It's hot. A lot of these people who are protesting out there are, teachers. They're upset about the public schools, the budget.
Right.
And the teachers are upset. But I think that there should be someone to, police these people and keep them from being so aggressive. We should get a kindergarten cop.
It's not even.
That's so incredibly hot.
It's such a stretch.
Oh, it's incredibly hot. if I were to stop all the spending in the budget in the state of California, if I were just to put an end to it right away and say, no more spending as of right now, would that make me Mr. Freeze? Freezing the spending?
Really?
Would that make me that?
Now you're going with characters?
Listen, I'm not, I'm not trying to, to attack the budget. I'm trying to help it,
Okay.
I'm no predator.
Okay. Listen, Governor.
That's incredibly hot.
We see how busy you are. We're going to let you get back to whatever it is you do, okay?
I'm going commando right now.
That's great news.
I have no underwear on.
Oh,
that's
no.
Hot.
Okay. Nice. I love songs. Need bling.
I think so.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:52.
You are listening to the Kevin Devine Show. It's this time every hour. Ralph Garman steps in with the show biz beat. What's going on today, dude?
Yesterday, we had the great good fortune of having our buddy Jason Schwartzman in the studio.
He's the best.
Mm-hmm. He is just such a nice guy.
Yep. He is. Good actor, too.
Turns out he and his wife are good friends with the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Really?
Yeah, and he said, if you're ever in Philly, you want to see a game, give me a call and I'll hook it up. I'll hook you up. And
it's like Nirvana for
you.
You kidding?
I'm just going to move back to Philadelphia.
Wow.
Just live there at the Link.
Friends with the GM.
How awesome is that?
Wow.
Anyway, so I heard him telling you the story that he had told me earlier in the day about him and Michael Cera promoting Scott Pilgrim, their new feature film, and they were in Atlanta on a local morning talk show, news show, basically, in a Fox affiliate in Atlanta. And they threw them in front of the green screen and made them do the weather.
Right.
And he told a very funny story about that. So I was able to track down the footage of them doing the weather.
Didn't he say he thought a weatherman was going to do it and they were just
They kept waiting for the weatherman to show up and he never showed.
It was just them.
And they started to run the Chiron behind them with all the temperatures and everything and they had to actually do the weather.
Oh, my God.
Schwartzman kind of did the heavy lifting and Sarah was just goofing around because they had this graphic of this school bus coming by the weather map.
Right.
I guess it's for getting your kids off to school, whatever. They've got this graphic they kept running. And Sarah kept throwing himself in front of the school bus as it went past the screen and acting like it was running him over. It was wildly entertaining. Here's a little taste of Jason Schwartzman doing the weather in Atlanta.
Low 80s, mostly around this area. Here's Augusta, beautiful area. Here's the ocean over there. What's new? Another hot day here. Humid, humid, humid.
Got Myrtle Beach.
Alabama.
People party.
98. That's hot. That's suntan lotion time. Remember, keep it together. It could rain. We might have showers. We wish. We hope. Wind, light. You know, good day to fly. No, don't do the bus thing again.
Don't do the bus thing.
But don't do the bus thing.
Michael! He kept acting like he was being run over.
It is funny. With his crazy mustache that he's wearing right now, it did look like an outtake from Anchorman.
It did. Look like Paul Rudd in Anchorman. You guys are talking about the Smokeout event.
Yep.
Big deal.
Cypress Hill.
Good party.
Incubus. Slightly stupid.
Yeah. Great list on Nerve.com today of the 10 sexiest celebrity stoners.
Oh, that's a good list.
I think so. Number 10 on the list, James Franco.
Oh,
yeah. Apparently he smokes out all the time. And
he looks like it.
He does look like it. He is considered by the Nerve staff to be the 10th sexiest celebrity
And he played. Did he play a super stoner in the Pineapple Express?
Yes. He was a dealer in Pineapple Express. Stephen Colbert apparently enjoys
that's surprising.
The weed.
Is that right?
Wow.
The weed.
Right?
Or the grass, as Bean would say.
Bean does call it
that. He likes the grass.
But don't get caught by the pigs.
Kimora Lee Simmons.
Oh, please.
She enjoys imbibing once in a while.
She should be mellower then and not quite so high-strung and harsh.
Of course, it wouldn't be a list of celebrity stoners without Woody Harrelson on the list.
Sure.
He comes in at number 7. Kirsten Dunst.
No!
Is 6th on the list. She's got to smoke weed just to look at her teeth in the morning. Mellower out. She says, I think America's view on weed is ridiculous. I mean, are you kidding me? If everyone smoked weed, the world would be a better place. Well, it'd be a hungrier place, I know that. Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right.
Like to smoke a little bit. Sarah Silverman. We all knew that one. Personal experience. Charlize Theron, third on the list of sexiest celebrity stoners.
Right.
Remember that photo they had of her making a bong out of an apple? Making a pipe out of an apple? Smoking out of an apple?
Made her my hero.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He seems to be like a stoner.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's 2nd on the list. And the number 1 sexiest celebrity stoner, according to Nerve.com?
President Obama.
President Barack Obama. Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, the number 1 sexiest stoner.
Oh, I didn't know he was...
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on. Just look at him.
What about Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, he's not on the list.
Wow.
And he likes to
he
smoke.
He smokes like crazy and he's really sexy.
Can't help you with that.
Huh. Do they not? Right. They just automatically leave Cheech and Chong off because it's too obvious.
They're not sexy.
It's the sexy.
Oh, that's what it's got to be. Sexy.
Kirsten Dunst or Kimora Lee Simmons. So
yeah, that's true. They don't belong on that list. If that's the case. Russell Brand. Speaking of people who seem like they smoke a lot of dope, is apparently homesick, proving once again that soccer is for losers. He says he wants to leave his fiance Katy Perry and go back to England now that soccer season has kicked off.
Yeah.
Loser. Oh, go enjoy your men running around in shorts, taking their shirts off when they win, which is rare because it's usually 0-0. Nil-nil.
It's a pretty exciting time.
Katy Perry said that she has given her husband-to-be pep talks, promising they'll head back to England to see a match in the very near future, but right now they need to focus on getting their wedding together, and he's going to have to stay in the States for a little bit longer.
But I want to go see soccer.
F you. Sum 41 has canceled their stint with the Vans Warped Tour.
How come?
Derek Whibley was jumped and attacked in a bar in Japan last week.
Hey!
Wow.
It was Sunday morning. He was sleeping.
Japanese
came out of nowhere. Came out of the sun so you couldn't see him. Next thing you know, boom!
Complete surprise?
Complete surprise! Dropping bombs in your bunk. How about that? God damn. No, he was in Japan, got into a fight, was jumped and attacked by a bunch of drunken, disorderly Japanese people, I'm guessing. He's got a slipped disc and apparently was re-injured in the attack, and now Sum 41 has said they have to wait until he recovers and get back on stage. So,
word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
That's right. And in more music news, congratulations to Arcade Fire. They have scored the number one CD in America.
And if you don't have it, you should get it. It's really good.
It's called The Suburbs. In its debut week, it sold 156,000 copies, making it the number one CD in America. Eminem,
really good.
Recovery
as well.
Was number two. Avenged Sevenfold's Nightmare was third. How about that? The top three are actually music that we would listen to.
Oh, how crazy.
Then you got Bun B at four with Trill OG.
He or she is good.
They are good. Rick Ross.
Yeah. He's the boss.
That's true.
Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, Drake, Lady Antebellum, and Buck Cherry rounding out your top 10 CDs, according to Billboard.com. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Let's.
Yes, please.
I have a list right here. Maggie Lawson from Psych is 30 years old today. Casey Affleck turns 35. Rebecca Gayhart is 39 years old today. Michael Ian Black is also 39. Peter Krause from Parenthood is 45 years old. And Sir Mix-a-Lot!
Sir Mix-a-Lot!
You know what he mixes?
What?
A lot. Baby got ballet dance in the open. Remix! Remix!
That's annoying.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan. I have a little taste of the real song. He's in there on the ones and twos.
No kidding.
DJ Omar Khan.
No, he was riding the wheels of steel over there. Next hour, we can hear a little of the actual song. That would be good.
I think that's part of it. It's just not the part that you were expecting.
Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Brand new Lincoln Park on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I'm a little uncomfortable knowing that there's a raper in Lincoln Park, that we continue to give that band spins. I don't know, man. Right.
There's not. There was a
hide
city
husband,
called
hide
Lincoln
your kids.
Park. That's a different news story. It's not.
Hide the kids, hide your wife, hide your husband, because they're raping everybody.
That's what he said.
That's what I heard.
They're raping everyone, says Antoine. Yeah. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. One of our all-time favorite guests, Joe Rogan, who's always welcome on this program, joins us 1 hour from right now. Also, we catch up with Dr. Drew later in the hour. Here's an interesting topic. Ralph, I'm glad you're in the room with us, because you certainly have a little bit more experience in this circle of people than I do. Montana Fishburne has been in the news a lot lately. The last name sounds familiar because her father is the tremendous actor from the Matrix movies, Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. And he's on, what's he on, one of the CSI shows now? Or?
CSI, the main one. He is taking over. That's William Peterson.
CSI, yeah, the main one.
The main one. Uh-huh. Yeah, Vegas.
Terrific actor. Now, we have not heard from him about his daughter Montana going into porn this year.
Oh, come on.
He has remained fairly silent on this, but there's a lot of speculation that it has not brought the two closer together.
She says her mom's supports her.
Yeah, sure.
That her mom isn't, you know, a big fan of the fact that she's, but whatever makes her happy, and she wants her to be, you know, safe and happy, and that's basically the best a parent could give, I imagine.
Yes. This kind of gets us into an interesting topic in that porn is a legitimate career. It is a legal career. It is a career that, in this case, Montana, being of sound mind and of age, has decided to do, and I can understand why all of those are reasons to support her in her decision. Yet if you're her parents or other family members, I don't think anybody wishes for somebody in their family to go into porn, right?
No, I don't think it's a career goal.
Come on, someone in this family. Come on, one of us can make it.
But I agree with you, Bean. It does have, unfortunately, it has a stigma attached to it where, you know, people think less of someone who gets into the adult entertainment industry.
It's harder over dinner to go, how was your day today?
Yeah, we don't want to necessarily hear tales of
of the workplace, if that's what you mean.
Oh, you'll never believe it. Shane Diesel was there.
Oh, oh man, I'm sore. I chafed.
Just, that puts a crimp in things.
But you see, and we've had on this program so many, you know, bright young women who have been really, really smart, and it's been a conscious decision because they've seen that there's a great way for her to for them to make a tremendous living. And, you know, in the case of some of them, like, you know, Jenna Jameson built a, you know, a multi-million-dollar empire out of it. I don't think Jenna was exploited. I think she called the shots every step of the way. I mean, more power to her.
It's just the family of these people. You do have to understand, like, how that works. And it has to be different with each parent, of course, or brother or sister. If your family and someone in your family is important, you can call up anonymously if you want. Don't tell us who they are. But we want to know how you handle it. You tell people? Do you try to hide it? You talk about it openly? Does it not bother you?
To me, it doesn't. You get used to the idea, now it's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me any different than someone going into professional sports. They're people who are just basically making livings with their bodies.
Right.
You know, if you get out of college and you go into pro football, that's considered an achievement. But if you get into the sex industry, it's considered less of. And really, it's a similar thing. It's someone using whatever physical talents they have for entertainment purposes and trying to get paid for it, right?
She got $25,000 for 1 hour. I can tell you that.
Wow.
Right?
I mean, how many jobs do you know you can get that?
That's not bad.
Lisa, are you reconsidering your decision to not go into porn now that you've heard that?
I don't think I have the exact same feelings as Ralph does about it. I mean,
look, if you go into professional boxing, you're using your body and your physical attributes to make a living in a lot more sort of vicious, dangerous, and in some ways degrading, some people would say degrading ways than someone who gets into the sex industry.
I guess I do find porn a little bit degrading for women.
There's the creepy factor of the dudes, I think, that goes along with the porn. Don't you think? The creepy factor of at least all of the people who buy and watch and know about her.
Kevin, if you look at the numbers, the vast majority of Americans look at porn at some time their lives. So it's not all creepy dudes who are sitting in their basements. You know?
I know, but think about your parents.
Yes.
And then we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if somebody that you know or is in your family is or has been in porn and how you handle it. If you went into porn.
Yes.
Today. Like you haven't.
All right.
Your parents would say what?
They would be disappointed. But I think largely it's a generational thing.
But they're disappointed in you anyway, right?
Yes, trust me. I think they would prefer me going to porn than work with you guys because they've heard the show. And I think my mom would pull me inside and say, why don't you just get into gay porn? It would be less embarrassing for the family than it would be you working on that radio show.
Has to be gay porn?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because there's more honor in gay porn than there is being on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think you're absolutely right, Ralph. I think it is a generational thing, just like attitudes toward pot, for instance, have changed so much over the last 30 years or so. I mean, look at the mainstreaming of porn stars who now regularly appear on Oprah, for instance, which never would have happened 10 years. Yeah. Even 10 years ago, but Oprah would have said, oh, too gross for my audience. But now it's kind of accepted because it's so commonplace now.
Here's one of the differences, and that's that most women in porn don't end up being a Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
There still aren't there still
they should
a lot
try
of drugs
harder,
and stuff involved in porn.
Well, there's drugs anywhere there's money.
Yes, that's the thing.
But I mean,
look, most NBA players don't end up being Michael Jordan.
But
you
they
know?
Make a, they, enough money to make a pretty good living.
For a couple of years, and then they're done.
Right.
And a lot of them end up broke, and there's a lot of drug use that goes on in professional sports, too. I think the analogy can still be drawn.
She has come out and said,
boxing's a perfect reference, because like you said, it's incredibly dangerous. And the lion's share of them not only don't make a living, they end up destitute and with brain damage or some type of harm done to them.
Right, exactly.
She says that she's going to use this to get into mainstream entertainment and she cites Kim Kardashian, who had a sex tape out, right?
Yeah.
And
look
what it did for her, right? But that's her doing it supposedly unintentionally. That was different than going into porn. It does seem like it's a difficult step for porn actresses to get into the real world of entertainment.
If you're a professional porn star and you do a lot of work, yeah, I don't know whether she plans on doing more than just this releasing this one tape, but she's got a point. A lot of women have gotten a lot of notoriety by releasing their sex tapes. Pamela Anderson's career got a boost from it. Kim Kardashian got an entire career out of it, basically.
But unintentional. And Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton, sure. That raised her profile.
Most of those, at least people think it were unintentionally or not their choice or whatever, but she's going into it. And can you just imagine, she's, Dad, pick up the phone. Dad. Dad. Can you imagine the conversation between her and her dad?
Yeah. Listen, parents are uncomfortable with the thought of their children having sex anyway. You cut it, whether it's on camera or off camera. That's not a subject that parents really want to address about their kids. Their kids' sexuality, actually, kids don't want to think about their parents' sexuality either.
No.
So it is a very difficult subject to broach, I think, in the family, regardless of the situation. But I think making it public is even more uncomfortable.
We've got room for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a family member in the porn industry, we want to know how that has affected your family. And real quick, before we take a break, Ralph, you, for a couple of years, dated a very well-known porn star.
Yes.
Did you guys ever have conversations? Did she ever talk about the reaction from her family and how they handled her, especially when she got to be one of the biggest in the world?
Yeah, I got to meet her dad, who was a real nice guy. We're talking about Ginger Lynn, who I dated. She was a big porn star in the 80s. And I got to meet her dad, and when I was with Ginger, I asked her, what was the reaction like initially when all this started to happen? And she said the first thing she ever did was she had a spread in, I think it was Penthouse, I think was her first appearance, really.
Right.
And her father was not happy but supportive. What was difficult for him was when the guys at work got the issue.
Yep. Can you imagine
every single comments and passing it around? He said that was the hard part for him.
Hey,
to
have
deal
you seen
with.
This? Yeah, that would be really brutal.
And then as her career progressed, and she went from posing in still pictures, then into features, and then the biggest porn star in the world at the time, that actually got more difficult. And then he said it leveled off, and then it got easier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the more
everyone accepted it.
Everyone accepted it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he look?
I don't know. Okay. I do not know.
I don't think you could.
I don't think you could either.
Yeah,
I don't think I would. If I was a dad. It's one thing to accept it and to know it's out there, but another thing to actually look at it.
Yeah. Well, you've got about 17 and a half years before you have to worry about it.
How
so.
Dare you, sir? Yeah.
And wouldn't it be the ultimate irony if Olivia grows up and gets a divorce? All right.
I don't think she's
going
to be that hot.
Hang on. She might get her mother's
Depends.
Seat, so you might be all right.
Look, she'll be fine.
What about me?
No, her mother's looks. That's who she needs.
Hang on, Brandon, and we'll take your call and everyone else's. 1-800-520-1067. You've got a family member in porn. What's that about? We'll talk to you after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Just stop and get a life. Porn's not even good anyway.
Well, I don't know that
Depends.
I would.
I beg to differ.
I'm not sure I would have chosen Montana Fishburne as my first choice for porn, but that's the decision that she has decided to make. She is the daughter of actor Lawrence Fishburne, and apparently her dad is not crazy about it. That kind of led us to start discussing, what's it like having a family member in porn?
I know that my mom would cry endlessly. I know that. She would cry
forever.
Forever.
Yeah. She wouldn't give you a high five, though, if you were really good at it?
No.
No?
Really?
Let's try Brandon. He's on line two, calling here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on, Brandon. We're talking about relatives in porn and what that does to the family. Do you watch? Do you hide it? Do you talk about it? Is it a dirty secret? What's going on in your family, dude?
We watch it, but...
Oh, no. You watch it.
Who is it?
Who in your family's in porn, Brandon?
It's my cousin, second cousin.
Uh-huh. Your second cousin. All right.
Yeah.
And you watch...
How did the rest of the family find out he was in porn?
Well, my uncle was watched porn all the time, and he happened to come across watching his cousin.
Now, and is it a girl or a guy?
It's a girl.
Girl, okay. So he was watching porn one day, and he went, I think that's my cousin.
Yeah.
And did he immediately email everybody in the family, or what did he do?
He came to me and told me. And we went on the internet to look it up.
All right, that's creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Let me just double check.
You
make
and
sure
your uncle.
It's Cindy. Let me see. Yeah, that's her.
Oh, nephew, come here. Now, Brandon, check something out. Take off your pants.
I have to ask this. Was she a hot relative and somebody you had hoped to see naked?
Creepy, maybe, yeah, but not really. But she's hot.
Yeah,
you
know. But it's creepy because
it's
your
cousin.
Creepy,
yeah. It's your cousin. Yeah, exactly.
Does
she
have a relationship with the family still?
Yes.
She does.
She see her every birthday, Christmas, everything.
Does your uncle have her come over all the time now?
Oh, stop it.
It's a little weird seeing her.
Okay. All right, Brandon. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. So it sounds like, and maybe this is the case of a lot of family members when someone's in porn, not crazy about it, but what can I do? I'm just gonna go with it. They're still family, it sounds like Brandon's saying.
I bet most families ignore it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
You said they watched.
No, but like you said, they get together at family gatherings at Christmases and dinners, whatever. I don't think people are bringing
it. Doesn't come up.
Yeah.
Hey, check out the latest movie. You're going to love this.
Let's try Alex real quick. He's on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alex, what's going on, man?
Hey, my brother graduated from college with a marketing degree, and then he goes to work for this porn company, and I was really amazed at how open my parents were to it.
Now, is he an actor, or is he doing marketing?
Well, he started in marketing, and now he does, like, all the porn star. He's kind of the liaison between the company and the porn star, so
right.
He has to set everything up, and now he does all these internet interviews with them, so he's on the website.
Okay.
Online, but and it's gay porn, too.
Okay, but he's not having sex. He's just that close to it.
Yeah.
And his parents?
Yeah.
Your parents, I guess?
Yeah, they're open to it. I'm amazed. I thought they would be really turned off by it, and they're open to it. They think it's cool.
They think it's cool.
That's cool. I mean, look, it's legal, legitimate
yes.
work.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't think they think it's cool. I mean, no, you think he goes, yeah, my son is a marketing director for gay porn. Isn't that great?
Yeah, does she tell everybody what he does for a living, or does he just say he's in film marketing and leave it at that?
Yeah, exactly. Film marketing, but they make a ton of money, so it's really funny.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what other people think. I think if you're in a family, if the parents are okay with it, that's got to be a load off your mind.
Sure.
You know?
All right, let's take one more. This is Paul. Hi, Paul.
I think Load Off Your Mind was one of the movies
How
he was promoting.
Dare you, sir. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is in porn?
My dad.
Your dad's in porn?
Okay, now we're talking.
Dad!
Oh. I know, it's absolutely horrific.
Oh, no.
And how did you find out?
Here is the quick story. We were living in West Hollywood, right next door to a porn producer from Israel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we had no money. So the producer knew my dad was poor, and somehow they get to talk. He offered him $300 for a one-day shoot. And back then it was, you know, a lot of money.
Of course.
Sure, yeah.
He took it. He didn't say anything to me, to my mom. He was told nobody ever will see the movie. It will never be shown in U.S. It will be overseas. Anyway, to make the long story short, my uncle saw the movie.
Oh, no.
Listen to this. He called my mom. Tell her she was so scared to go by herself, she took me with her to see it.
Wait, in a theater? She took you to a movie theater?
She took me to a movie theater. There was one on Western and Santa Monica.
So this is back in the days when they still had movie theaters, porn theaters.
Wow.
So, on the Western and Santa Monica. And
so you and your mother went to see your father in a porn movie.
Right, and I didn't know he was going to be there. He didn't tell me. So she took me, and I was there, and when I saw it, I could not look at it. Obviously, I closed my eyes.
Oh, my God. It's not like sometimes when you go to a movie premiere in Southern California and they know the person, they're like, yeah! No clapping went on between you and your mom?
Well, they're still together. He's 79 years old. She didn't talk to him for 1 year, and she could not go out because, you know, in a community, she was too ashamed because everybody knew. Everybody went to see
the movie.
Should
be more ashamed by the fact that she went to watch it with you.
Oh, it was absolutely horrific.
That's a fantastic story, Paul. Thank you very much for calling us on the Kevin
DeBeach
Show.
Paul tried the popcorn trick with his mom.
Wondering. Friend Joe Rogan joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. It is Thursday. Time to catch up with Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show and every TV show in the world. Hey, Doctor, how's your week going, man?
It's good, my friends.
Wanted to ask you about a couple things. We always enjoy having your professional medical perspective on the show. So many rumors about your cast on the Celebrity Rehab, especially Rachel Uchitel. She seems to be very much a tabloid favorite right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories that Radar Online posted, and I know you can't maybe comment specifically about what happened with Celebrity Rehab, is that she was addicted to Ambien and that she used to use Ambien to enhance her sex with Tiger Woods. I've never heard of such a thing. Have you?
If somebody has an anxiety disorder, I imagine they might do something like that. But that sounds like total nonsense to me.
Listen, I'm an expert. I'll tell you what
I know. Oh, thanks. Oh, wow.
What I know is that in Role Models, they said you take as many Ambien as you can, and then you try to fight it off, and then you have sex. I know that that happened in Role Models. So.
Oh, when they were camping.
Yes, that's what I get my information from, is movies. So.
So it doesn't enhance sex. It just makes you calm down a little bit if you're anxious about it. Is that what's suggested here?
It's not as though my Ambien addicts report that they use Ambien for sex. It's just not a common thing. I've never heard that, in fact. And so the only reason I can imagine somebody would do that is if they're feeling anxious or something such as that. I mean, if anything, you know, Ambien makes you amnestic. It makes you not remember things. And generally, people kind of want to remember this experience.
Right.
Sure.
Right?
So, that's ridiculous.
How is your girl Rachel doing? She is in another rehab facility now, right?
The entire cast really has done rather remarkable. They worked very hard in treatment this year, and many of them embraced treatment and wanted to keep going, and they're doing various things to keep that process underway. Psycho Mike and I were talking last night about how much that kind of commitment, really, really a spontaneous commitment on part of a patient, says about their progress. Mike, you're going to back me up on this, right?
No, I mean, for sure. I mean, we always kind of talk about whenever any celebrity battles addiction that it doesn't really matter if a court sends them somewhere or if the law does or their parents, whatnot. You have to kind of make that internal decision on your own, and until then, nothing's going to get done. Right. And for her to take money out of her own pocket and her own time and by her own volition go into a sober living, it really says a lot about how committed she is to her own recovery.
Yeah, and it says I'm not just another celebrity who wants the fame of being on Celebrity Rehab and wants to get paid for it and wants to rub up against dreamy Dr. Drew for a few weeks. It says I'm actually serious about sobriety. And that has to.
Are you saying you want to come on the show?
Yeah. And can we always refer to him as dreamy Dr. Drew from now on?
I may start drinking just to end up on the show.
Start.
Let me ask you about one more thing, Doctor, because every time I see a celebrity in the news that is battling any kind of crisis in your area, I always wonder what Dr. Drew would think. There was a story about Fantasia Barrino, who was a former American Idol winner, apparent attempted suicide attempt. Aspirin and a sleeping aid. Sounds like the weakest suicide attempt ever. Is this incredibly common, or do we just hear about it because they're celebrities? How widespread are people trying to kill themselves these days?
I'm not sure I can say it's significantly higher than any other time in history, but I can tell you that women, when they try to kill themselves, will typically take pills. Men are much more likely to be successful and use firearms. Aspirin overdoses historically are very common. When people are in that state where they're contemplating suicide, they just grab whatever's handy. And you can always also tell when somebody's sort of got a problem with pills in addition to the suicide. You know, the kinds of things they have on hand usually include multiple opiates and multiple benzodiazepines. In this case, all she had was, what was it, like a sleeping aid and some aspirin. Which to me says, Fantasia, not an addict, not a pill user, but very depressed.
Any follow-up questions on the most depressing question ever asked, Bean?
No, I'm curious about this, though. But what happens to you if you take a bottle of aspirin?
Yeah, sometimes you need kidney dialysis. It can be quite serious. You can be, but it doesn't. It's a hard thing to kill yourself with as compared to, say, you got to know what's called acidosis. But as compared with acetaminophen, Tylenol can kill you with like 11 pills, and your liver shuts down 3 days later, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You should tell us more about people who've succeeded killing themselves.
Hey, I would like to say that was a fascinating response, and I have never heard that addressed anywhere, and I'm shocked by how easy it is to kill yourself with Tylenol.
I'm saying you're a bummer. That's what I'm saying.
Dr. Drew, any happy news you want to leave us with?
The lighter side of addiction?
Lisa May, Kevin.
Yes.
How do you guys broadcast with this guy right now?
Dude, listen, it's rough.
Kevin shuts him down.
It gets worse and worse, and then it gets to be Thursday and Friday, and if we didn't have the weekend, we would kill him.
It's okay. Dreamy Dr. Drew is going to take care of that.
All right.
Please.
All right, let me ask you one more question.
No, you don't get another one.
No, this is an upper. I'm going to go out on a high note here. I'm going to go out on a high note.
Tell me about death.
Did you hear about Psycho Mike and his ring?
Yes,
that's what I was going to ask you about. So you and Psycho Mike are doing the Love Line show, and Psycho Mike the other night, we have to be very careful the way we describe this because we're not Love Line. We're not on at that time of night, but he decides that he is going to put a vibrating sex toy on his junk.
He
likes
it, so he should have put a ring on it.
Yeah!
And he did.
And you're sitting next to this guy who basically is being stimulated throughout the entire show. How weird must that have been for you?
All I can tell you is I had to actually turn my back to him and bring the mic around over to the other side and look out the window of the studio. I could not look. I still can't look at him.
We can't either. How about that? We're on the same page.
It was was disturbing, to say the least. And he kept grabbing for his phone, too. It was very strange. And when he finally did his thing, it was very sudden and very bizarre. And again, the phone. He grabbed the phone. What was that all about,
Mike? What was the phone, Mike?
I honestly think it was just, like, impulse. There was my keys and my phone were in front of me on, like, the broadcast console. And I just, like, it was, like, a couple times it was a knee-jerk reaction. I don't really...
It wasn't your knee, by the way.
If someone wasn't calling me or
Twitter
anything...
About
No. I mean, I had access to a PC. I could have just...
He's never not looking at a computer images of women. So I thought maybe he's just going for that on the phone or something.
Hmm. Yeah,
well, you've been co-hosting Loveline for so long with so many different hosts. Is this the first time that has ever happened on your show?
Oh, no, this happens 3 nights a week, usually.
All right. Check out Dr. Drew. Check your local listings for when Loveline is on in your city. Dr. Drew Pinsky, thanks for joining us on the Kevin Amin Show. We enjoyed it.
Talk to them.
Thank you.
Our friend Joe Rogan in the next room will join us in minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin Amin Show, what's going on?
I don't know if Joe's going to stick around with Kevin shaking him down for pot over
there. I was not doing that.
No kidding. Poor guy can't even walk in the door.
I would like to have some pot.
I did not ask him for pot.
Just saying.
I ran out of time. I had to come back in.
You're saying that because you think Ralph's a narc, right?
I don't know if you guys... What are you, Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson saw Ralph and said, see a cop.
That dude a cop. maybe I am.
Then he went back to his giant mountain of sugar or whatever it was.
It was cornstarch,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Was he baking a cake?
He was baking a cake in his nose.
You've been a TV cop so often that I'm not surprised that people think you look like
one. Is that guy a cop?
All
right, sorry, back to you.
That's okay. I don't know if you guys have been watching Comedy Central lately.
I have.
I was watching Tosh.0 last night,
mm-hmm.
and
Love
then
it.
I watch in rapid succession the previous night's Daily Show and then Colbert Report.
Right.
That's usually my evening's entertainment. And have you seen the spots, the commercial spots for the Hasselhoff?
For the roast?
The roast,
yes.
The roast of David Hasselhoff.
Couple, yeah.
Have you seen what their slug line is, their tagline for their little ads?
No.
I got a still story here from the screen from last night of what I saw.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It's time to hassle the Hoff, it says on their advertisements. I wonder where they could have gotten that from.
Time to hassle the Hoff.
Oh, I see. Yes, my lawyers will be notified.
This is happening a lot now, isn't
you
it?
You will hear from me, Comedy Central.
But Comedy Central didn't follow it up with Hoff.
True. They left out the all-important Hoff echo.
So that's the slogan.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
So were you willing to look the other way on Damn You, Sharktopus because you were in the movie? At least you got something out of it. But this is just out-and-out theft,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. Intellectual property, bitches. It's going to be hell to pay.
Although, I mean, not to argue with you, but doesn't he say that about himself?
He says, don't hassle the Hoff. That was always his slogan.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I came up, well, you know what? It's time to hassle the Hoff. And next thing I know.
Boom.
Boom. That's all I'm saying.
You're running Hollywood.
Boom. Once again, Hollywood just sits and waits and listens for what I have to say. And then they act.
They have to be so disappointed most days, though.
Hollywood?
Yeah.
But things move so slowly.
Not really giving them anything to work with, so. That's sad news. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Fantasia. I heard you guys talk to Dr. Drew about Fantasia Barrino.
Oh, that was funny. That was so funny.
Let's talk more about suicide.
Let's talk about death. How do you kill yourself?
Is suicide really painless? I heard that in a song.
Ladies and gentlemen, a rare MASH joke on the Kevin Amin Show.
VH1 is wondering how they're going to rework the season 2 premiere of their reality show. Fantasia for real.
Oh.
By the way, season 2. Had no idea the show had ever seen the light
either.
Of day, but apparently it's on VH1.
There's already been a season?
Already burned through a whole season of it. Huh. It returns September the 19th. Now, how do you deal with it when your star, first of all, broke up a marriage and then tried to overdose? What do you do? How do you put that in a good light?
Well, you can't call the show Everything's Going Really Great with Fantasia anymore, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. They say that it's a reality show, and they're going to have to involve these facts somehow, but they're scurrying now trying to decide how they're going to present this story in the context of the second season.
She's still alive?
Yay!
She can use that for a title.
She's still alive.
Ralph, you watched the season that Fantasia won back in season 3.
I did.
Didn't she strike you at the time as an immensely talented young woman who really potentially could have had a great career ahead
of
her? What went wrong with her? Just bad management? Bad?
Give us the backstory of Fantasia.
Here, really quickly, this is just my take, because we're short on time, and we got Joe Rogan waiting in the wings. This is what I call the Elvis phenomenon.
You take someone from a low-income, low-class situation.
Right.
And Elvis was basically white trash.
Right.
Okay? Then you you dump on top of him an enormous amount of money, attention, and liberty, and freedom to do what you want.
And fame. And
that
all
is
that.
A bad recipe.
Yeah.
People who come from disadvantaged situations don't ordinarily have the skill set to be able to negotiate those waters of having unlimited freedom, everyone saying yes to you, and then a pile of cash on top of that. They're not used to dealing with those things.
And she had a tough background, did not have a good support system, former abuse victim, single mother. I mean, she already had some strikes against her going in,
right? This is what I'm saying. She got the rewards before she did the work in order to, what you have to do to get through in order to get ready for that stage. You know what I'm saying? I think she had all this heaped on her. She had a ton of money heaped on her. She had no real experience with having to deal with money, how to manipulate her finances. And the fame and the attention and people saying yes, 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 I think did her a huge disservice. Now I think she's spun out of control.
Tell us more about her attempt on her own life.
So that's just my take.
You're bumming me out today,
I think,
Dean.
Money and fame make you more of whatever you are to begin with.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good analysis. Thank you, Ralph.
The great magnifying glass, fame and money. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Affleck, brother of Ben, is 35 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart. She is 39. Michael Ian Black, very, very funny man. I guess The State was where we first saw him, and then on Ed. Remember he was on Ed? He was
Ed
run the bowling alley.
He's a funny guy.
Very funny guy. He's 39 years old. Peter Krause from 6 Feet Under and Parenthood is 45. And Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, but you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get.
We got the whole song there?
I love that song.
That's so good.
That's a really good
Makes
song.
Me hungry for a Butterfinger though. I don't know why. Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan.
This is the f***ing Fear Factor guy.
I thought that thing was going to be canceled immediately.
4 years later, I'm standing in front of a chick with a mouthful of animal going, "You can do it! You hang in there!" Skeeter son has got a glazed look in his eyes and boners poking out of his choo-choo train PJs, and he's trying to your cat. Don't you think you might want to have a sit-down with that little dog?
Nobody ever off and feels like a winner. Nobody ever off and goes, "Yeah!
Woo!"
Here's my list of to do today. Let me check that right the off. Joe Rogan.
We had a completely updated new version of that, and I played the wrong one.
That's all right.
Good job.
That's
nice job. We'll save it for next time. Joe Rogan is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him live on stage in his return at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California. That's going to be this Saturday night. Doors open at 6. By the way, doors open at 6. Show at 9?
Yeah,
what's going on there,
inebriated.
Joe?
It's a drinking place.
They want you really making terrible decisions by the time the show starts.
Does that help? Have the audience drunk? No?
No, I don't think so. Not that drunk.
Yeah.
No, like a little
tipsy.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Yeah.
So
a little
don't
buzz.
Get there at 6. Even though the show starts at 9, even though the doors are open at 6, get there around 7:30, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're advising. Okay.
Yeah, I think for comedy, what you require is darkness and a little loss of inhibitions, just a little bit, you know?
And it is called Rogan and Pals. You got some special friends you're bringing around this time?
Joey Diaz is coming with me. And,
funny guy.
Probably Ari Shaffir, too.
Okay.
What he's doing. I forgot to ask him.
You.
That's how I roll. It's completely unorganized.
Hey, what are you doing tonight, man?
I know I'm going to be there for sure.
All right.
You know, I call my friends up. Hey, dude, do you do anything tomorrow? Come do my show.
Well, I know the time flies by when you're on the air, Joe, and we always have so much ground we want to cover. So let me get right to it. And let's start with UFC 117, because I know that you thought that was one of the most entertaining UFC fights you've ever seen in your life. And as you so aptly put it on your Ustream podcast yesterday, Hollywood couldn't write a movie like that fight, right?
Well, you could write a movie like it, but it wouldn't be as exciting. You know, it's like the drama that you get from a fight like that, where you really truly don't know what's going to happen, and there's so much going on, and then finally, like, you know, with just a minute to go, the turnaround.
No, explain what happened.
Okay, what happened was Anderson Silva, who is the most dominant champion in the history of the UFC, a guy who is the pound for pound best fighter in the world, a guy who's just obliterated most of his opponents. He got taken down every single round and beaten up for 4.5 rounds.
It goes five.
Five-round fight. In the middle of the fifth round, there's like 2 minutes to go, and he catches the guy in a triangle, which is a choke off your back where you choke the guy with your legs. And it was just incredible.
The
just
other guy
so
tapped
dramatic.
Out, and he won after getting beaten up the entire fight.
Yeah, the guy tapped out and tried to pretend he didn't tap out, tried to like keep fighting, like when the referee separated him. It was really kind of
a listener emailed about
funky.
That and asked about the tap and wanted to know if like one tap is sufficient or if you're supposed
one is
to tap
enough.
A bunch.
Yeah, how do they know
Look,
about
you
the
know,
tap? Because sometimes you're trying to grab.
Yeah, well, you whatever. Know what a tap is. You know when the guy's locked up, when the guy's completely locked up and he just does that. That's all you have to do. Like Fedor, when he tapped to Werdum, he just did that and they let it go. I mean, that was
so
it.
That's it.
It's a tap. Right. You just got to.
It also doesn't come out of the blue.
System.
They know you're in a position where you might tap.
You need to.
Yeah. So that's,
some dudes will just fake tap, though, or complain. And Chael Sonnen, I love him, but he's done it before. He did it with Paulo Filho.
Oh, is that right?
Paulo Filho got him in an arm bar and he screamed tap. And then he said, I didn't tap. And everybody's like, what are you talking about, man?
Scream tap?
Like you,
you do that?
Yeah.
Tap, tap!
Yo, you can, because there's certain submissions where both your arms
your
are
arms
locked
are,
up.
Wow.
So you can tap with your feet. Like, you can stomp on the ground. Like, you can, that's a tap as well.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
So Joe.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What do you make of...
like the sorcerer? There's a technique called the sorcerer, where the guy's legs are crossed in front of your neck, and both of your arms are out like that.
Wow.
Both your arms are getting jacked.
So you can't tap, literally.
You can't tap.
You,
you have
to
scream, tap, or slap your feet on the ground. And
you blink it with blink it with Morse code with your eyelid. What's your opinion, seeing him dominated for 4.5 rounds, what's your opinion of Anderson Silva now? Do you still think he's... The best fighter out there?
Well, it's incredible that he pulled it off, but he's got definitely a tremendous hole in his game that's been exposed, and that's a weakness to wrestling. And, you know, wrestlers, I always say that wrestlers have the best base to start out in mixed martial arts because they can decide where the fight takes place. If they want to take the guy down, they can do it. If they want to keep the fight standing up, they can do that as well. The ability to dictate where the fight takes place is gigantic because if they're ever in trouble, they just take the guy down. And, you know, Anderson just could not deal with that big guy on top of him, punching him for 4.5 rounds. And if Chael Sonnen just fought smart for the last round, or, you know, just was a little bit more cognizant of his hand positioning and didn't get his wrist controlled, he could have gotten out of that and
won
the title.
He just wasn't paying attention, or he was
tired?
He just
slipped, caught him slipping. You know, guys will vary their speed of attack, and the reason why they're doing it, they're trying to lull you into a false sense of security or a false sense of timing, and then all of a sudden they explode. And when they explode, you're like, damn it, I didn't catch that coming. And you can get knocked out like that, or you can get submitted
like
that.
You've talked a lot about how it's difficult to get a hold of a guy, too, when it's later in the fight because of the sweat and everything else.
Well, the thing is the gloves, though. And what happened with the gloves is Chael, if you watch the fight, he let Anderson control his wrist, and Anderson was holding on to his right wrist and pushing it close to his body, which you automatically have to think the guy's going to throw his left leg over your shoulder and try to triangle you, because that's what a guy does. He pins the arm to your chest, and what that does is when the arm is pinned to your chest, you can't defend the leg coming over your neck.
Right.
And that's what he did. He slapped it on him.
Right.
And
did
was
Anderson,
like, bitch!
Did Anderson Silva feel lucky?
So quick! No,
did he feel lucky to get away with that fight, or did he feel like, hey, I was just waiting for my moment and that was my plan all along?
I wish I could speak Portuguese and I was friends with him and knew, but, you know, it's hard to tell. He's an interesting dude, but he said he felt a strong presence from God, and to which I would have been like, so God likes watching dudes get their asses kicked, and he's really rooting
one over
for
the
you.
Other.
Yeah, come on, man.
I didn't buy the fight because of him.
You didn't?
No,
because
the last time.
Because the last time, a lot of people felt that way. A lot of people, but a lot of other people wanted him to get his ass kicked,
right?
And so they were looking
forward
to that.
And they showed the fight on the SportsCenter, which I was happy about. They showed a lot of the highlights.
Yeah, well, you only really need to see the last few seconds, a few takedowns and some punches, because that was really the whole fight. The most significant damage by Chael Sonnen was in the first round, though. He blasted him with a couple punches standing up, hurt him, and then got him on the ground. Was beating him up on the ground it was pretty intense. Like, everybody was like, "Wow, he is just kicking his ass."
Yeah.
And then to go from that to getting tapped out just like 2 minutes ago, I was like, chaos.
Real quick, before we have to take a break, our guest is Joe Rogan on stage at the
breaks.
Canyon Club.
I hate commercials.
I know. You're spoiled by your podcast.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we go, UFC 118, in case we don't get back to talking about fighting, is Edgar versus Penn 2, and that's going to be at the end of the month at the Garden in Boston. And that's a fight that people have been waiting for that rematch for a while, too.
James Tony versus Randy Couture. That's what
How
I'm looking
that?
Forward to. I interviewed James Tony the other day. He goes, you know, Bruce Lee had a 6-inch punch. I got a 3-inch punch. I mean, 3 inches is all I need. Now I'm out of 3 inches.
And you
Somebody
said, what?
Good night. Night, yeah, bitch. Wow.
You're more likely to understand Anderson's Portuguese than you are whatever Tony is speaking there. All right. Joe Rogan is here. We'll take a quick break. Return right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show. Our guest in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show is comedian Joe Rogan, comedian actor Joe Rogan, but you don't seem to do much acting anymore, by the way. What's up with that, Joe?
I think actors are douchebags.
Right?
Like
so,
them.
So you're perfect for that.
And you have to hang out with them if you act.
So I'm perfect with them. How dare you, sir? How dare you, island-dwelling freak?
No, but you, you've been in some stuff, and you've been good in some stuff.
I enjoy it when it's fun. I did a movie recently with Kevin James where I played his enemy. It was a lot of fun. It was called Zookeeper. It comes out. It doesn't come out until next July, actually. But it was a lot of fun. That was actually fun. But because Kevin's a buddy of mine and I've known him forever.
So you're keeping your toe in it. You're just focusing on the comedy and the fighting.
I'm a hoe, dude. I'll put on fishnets if the money's right.
What kind of money would it take for fishnets?
It's time to sweat.
Joe is on stage at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California. If you can make it Saturday night, showtime is 9 o'clock. Go to canyonclub.net. By the way, before we move on to the next topic, I have to tell you that I had an entirely different evening planned last night until I sat down with Joe's podcast. And then thanks to the conversation he was having, I ended up downloading and listening to the Ghetto Boys loud all night last night. Because for some reason, and Joe never knows what he's going to talk about on his Ustream cast, which is always very, very funny, but for some reason they got on the topic of the world's most popular midgets, and Bushwick Bill, of course, came to mind, and then they started reminiscing about how great the Ghetto Boys were. The next thing you know, you're playing Ghetto Boys records, and I just couldn't stop listening to them.
Yeah, F a War is one of the greatest songs ever, the Bushwick Bill song, F a War. Yeah, I don't know, man. When we do that podcast, we just get super blazed and let the universe take us where it wants to.
Yes, exactly. All right.
Isn't that your life, basically?
Well, sort of. I don't get high when I do the UFC, and there's other things that I don't get high doing. But, yeah, for the most part.
But the podcast is better if you're high. I think we could all agree on that.
I mean, the only problem is sometimes we get so high, I literally don't know what I'm talking about in the middle of talking about something, and then I have to pause and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I know what we're saying. It's like it's like surfing, you know. There's a certain point where the wave is just too big, man. You're going to hit the rocks.
It gets dangerous.
You just gotta get back up on that board. Don't be a bitch.
We spoke with you on the phone last week, we brought up something that we wanted to talk when you came in and we had a little bit more time. And that is this new predictive crime software from IBM, which is so freaky. Basically, if I understand, and tell me if I got this wrong, they can hook you up to a machine, and if you're a terror suspect, for instance, and they flash in front of you the location of a potential target, there's no way the guy can fake it. If that target is a red flag, if he knows something about that target, they'll be able to read it in his brain, and they say it's nearly 100% effective.
Yeah, and that's now. You know, I mean, all this stuff is exponentially increasing, so whatever they can get out of it now. I mean, right now they've been able to hook up sensors to a cat's brain and show a cat certain images and then recreate the images on a digital screen, essentially capturing what the cat can see.
Awesome.
And what they're saying is eventually what they're going to be able to do is literally capture dreams, show your memories on a screen.
I don't want that.
It's going to be freaky.
I would like to see your memories.
I do not want that out.
It's all happening while we live our normal lives. And this is what's weird about this technological singularity that we're hurling towards. You know, the CEO of Google was talking about how people are not ready for the technological revolution. One of the things he used was this statistic about data. And what he said was that from the dawn of humanity to 2003, we used 5 exabytes of data. And what that is a 1 with 18 zeros behind it. That's from the dawn, from caveman time to 2003. Now we go through 5 exabytes of data every 2 days.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. 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 And it's creeping up on you. While we're here hanging out, talking about pot and, you know, the Jerry Springer show or whatever, there's dudes in Sweden that are working on the Large Hadron Collider. Yeah. There's all these different scientific experiments that are going on all over the world, and they're all compiling data, and they're all building on top of each other's experiments and in each other's discoveries, and it's getting crazier and crazier all the time. But regular life just is going on like as if nothing's changing. But
now all of a sudden we're all going to be robots.
It's all going to blow up, like, really soon. Yeah. Like, some big, big changes. And this is what, I mean, the whole Mayan 2012 apocalyptic scenario that all these people are embracing because it just seems fun. The scientists.
Seems fun to say the world's going to end.
People love apocalypses, man. Yeah. People love to think that we're all going to die together. That way they don't have to die alone. You know, I think that's part of the psychology behind it. But I think also part of it is because we all realize that this is not sustainable. So where is this going? But when you talk to scientists like the Ray Kurzweils of the world, the people that are talking about a technological singularity, what they're looking at is the way things are headed. Like, there's no way this isn't going to change radically. Like, very soon. Like, something way bigger than the internet, something, time machines.
We just had this question off the air earlier today.
Really?
Like, the internet has changed
our
lives.
But it wasn't as interesting.
No, Joe's always more interesting.
Well, because you discount everything I say because
that's
it's
true.
For me. But my point was, the internet, which we barely imagined, most people, obviously the government has had it for 40 years, but most of us really started getting into the internet about 15 years ago. And it has, in that short a period of time, changed virtually every person in the civilized world's life so much with so much of what we do. What's next that's going to come along that's going to blow that away? That's going to be something that we can't even conceive of right now that we're not going to imagine we could ever live without. Who knows? Maybe next year.
Yeah, it's very close. It's very close.
I just can't believe they're that close to being able to read your mind. That's what I can't believe.
I don't know if it's dying.
I don't want to read my mind.
I don't think it's
that.
I think it's going to change reality. I think we're on the cusp of some sort of a technological innovation that will change reality as we know it. Like, literally to the point where, I mean, it could be a doorway to another dimension. You know, they're starting to figure out now that, you know, there's a whole thing about dark matter comprises like 80% of the universe, and they don't really exactly know what it is, and they can't really see it, but they know it's there because of how it makes other things react.
Right.
Well, now they're thinking that dark matter literally passes through regular matter. So dark matter is here all the time, all around us. And then you get into like conversations about dimensions and, you know, quantum physicists, which I completely don't understand. So when I repeat what they say, it's just noises.
I don't understand any of what you're saying.
I don't either.
I'm really lost.
I'm sober.
I will tell you what you will understand, and this is no joke, and Joe, okay, you probably saw this, is that Stephen Hawking came out this week and said, mankind should start looking for another planet to move to because this is not sustainable. This Earth is going to run out. We're not going to be able to live here anymore. We need to go someplace else.
Yeah, no scientists have a rosy vision of the future with the way things are headed as far as like the depletion of resources, the amount of human beings that are on the planet. I mean, I think in the 1950s, there was only like a little bit more than a billion people on the Earth.
Right.
And now there's like seven?
Seven, yeah.
Seven,
yes,
billion?
Yeah.
And it used to be just six. So we got a billion, 1,000 million in, you know, just a
and soon
or so.
it's going to be like watching an odometer on your car. It's going to be like a 9, 10, 11. Yeah. It's just going to happen so fast you're not even going to be able to keep track.
You do with them all.
You guys are totally bumming me out.
I know. It's freaking – but I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing.
It sounds great. It's all good.
What we're thinking
they can read
of,
your mind. We're going to have 10, 11 billion people.
What we're
the
thinking
Earth's going to end. This is all positive.
What we're thinking of, though, when we think about our lives ending, what we're thinking about is something that's temporary anyway. I mean, human life is essentially a completely temporary experience.
It's a blip, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone knows it. Everyone's aware of it, but we live as if it's not. So it's like we have these blinders on and we don't want to take them off. And we don't know what's next. And
should we not plan to be there Saturday night? Are we going to be okay from now till Saturday?
I don't know. Just if Saturday rolls around, you're still alive. You think. I mean, this might be like Inception, right?
That's true.
I'll be a dream.
Oh, good
inside
point.
A dream, inside a dream.
All right. Come to the Canyon Club, Agoura Hills, California. See Joe Rogan and friends on stage starting at 9. Doors open at 6. CanyonClub.net. A quick break. More with Joe after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:42.
You start.
I wish we could put it that way, Joe Rogan.
Goddamn censorship.
Joe is here with Rogan and pals at the Canyon Club, Agoura Hills, California this Saturday night. Go to CanyonClub.net. You can also hear Joe on the UFC 118 at the end of the month on August 18th in the Garden in Boston. Hey, I have a question for you because I know you have an opinion on all things. There was quite a kerfluffle on the internet this week after this week's Entourage episode. Did you happen to see it?
No, I didn't. What was the controversy?
Do you watch Entourage?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, Vince on the show is dating fairly seriously Sasha Grey, the porn star. And she shows up. Kevin, have you seen this week's episode yet?
I don't watch it since it became the same episode every single week.
So that was like 3 years ago.
That was like 3 years ago.
She shows up with an absolute stone-cold, tremendous 1970s fro downstairs. Like crazy hair, Sasha Grey does.
Right.
People were just flipped the F out after that episode aired because most of them, you know, young people, have never even seen that. They've never seen anything like that.
Would you describe it as a kerfluffle?
I'm wondering if that's coming back. I'm wondering what your opinion is on that and whether you think that maybe that's that we're going in a new direction in hair after going so long in the other direction that now the cool thing to do is to go the other way around.
I think you could swing back as long as it doesn't travel too far towards the buttocks. As long as it doesn't circle the dungeon, I think we're okay. It's just, you know, especially if you're doing it with the lights on and, you know, that's not – good. It's not clean. Things get stuck in there.
Yeah,
and odors and
yeah.
I know. But you know what's more disturbing? What? Sasha Grey's actual porn. That stuff's disturbing. Why? Have you ever watched it?
No.
She gets beat up and she gets gagged.
Oh my god!
Like she likes to get her. How do I say this over terrestrial radio? She likes to get her mouth mounted. Is that a good way to say it? Stuffed.
Sure.
And just like crying and gagging, like tears and throwing up.
Why would someone want to watch that?
Like,
I don't know.
Stuffed to the point where, like, where is it going in your mouth? Because your head's only 6 inches long. You know, like,
it's like a clown car where there's 75 people getting out of a little car.
Skull's a clown car.
Oh, that's good. That's going to make it to the act on Saturday.
It's really disturbing, though. Yeah, like, she gets smacked in the face.
Nope.
Like, I don't like that stuff.
Me either.
And
I don't either.
I read this whole thing, and I believe it was Rolling Stone, about the dirtiest girl in porn and how she's into, you know, Nietzsche and reads all this existential stuff, which is like always to me is like, all right, you're somehow or another trying to sell that, you know, you're above this all. And, if anything, I'm angry at, she was saying that I'm angry at, you know, society's being uptight about sex and, you know, that I just can't be a slut and enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, what? What's going on here? Why is that guy doing that to your face, and why are you happy about it? You know,
this is what you like.
Like, it's like, man, like she get it's rough stuff. And if you look at her, she's like this kind of like, you know, she's very pretty, classically like thin, and you know, it's disturbing. And when you find out she's actually intelligent too, and she's like, it's like there's a lot of, I don't know what it is in there.
Do you have her number?
Giant F.
No, I don't want to. Okay, I don't want to get too close, especially if I'm stoned. If I'm stoned, I just absorb it all. Especially now that I have daughters, it's like I can't watch any of it. I can't go to strip clubs. I absorb it all. It's like these are children.
Right.
You know, like you go to the strip club. It's not a strip club anymore. It's the house of crappy parenting. It's like, here we go. That's what we did to kids, and they came out like this. Yeah. What a needy hole. You know,
isn't that interesting?
I meant as a personality.
Right. As a personality. Right. So you now look at strippers and porn stars as somebody's daughter now.
Yeah,
because that's your new perspective
now. You know, unfortunately.
Dude, you can't do that.
I know, you can't. You know, that's why we need to hurry up with the robot technology. Just give me some headless body that I can do whatever I want to. You know, I think that's the future. If we ever get avatar technology, that's what the future is. Celebrities that you just do whatever you want to.
So you could pick whatever celebrity you want to have sex with. Megan Fox, and then you just have them send her head.
Make a toilet out of their face. avatar bidet.
When the technology exists, though, the first way it will be used
is for porn.
They're not going to go, hey, we've got this amazing robot. Let's use it for surgery. Nope, it's going to be porn.
You were talking about all this technology and what's going to be next. It will be porn first, and then everything else will follow.
Well, porn is what pushes innovation when it comes to internet. I mean, if it wasn't for, pornography is what has caused people to switch to HTML5. I mean, besides the fact that Flash is kind of buggy, but the reason why HTML5 is getting so much momentum is like iPads and stuff like that, you can't use Flash on them, so porn sites are switching to HTML5. It's like that's the progress. That's how it goes.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. It's all fascinating stuff.
Where porn goes, we follow.
It's just it's very hard for me to.
You need to separate it from
when you have
your
children.
Daughters.
When you have little daughters, and you realize that. I mean, it's everyone should enjoy sex. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you're doing it publicly, and it's obviously there's a hole there that needs to be filled. Personality wise.
All right.
You know, there's something wrong. You've created, you know. But then again, you know, I also sometimes look at life as like this gigantic mathematical equation and say that, well, maybe, you know, maybe bad parenting exists to make porn, which gives people some sort of a release. If there was no porn at all, if no one was a bad parent, it was no porn, and there was nothing to masturbate to. I mean, do you know how much more stress people would be under?
How much more murder there'd be?
Yeah, a lot more murder, a lot more. I mean, do you think that they should give porn to people in prison?
To keep the aggression down?
Yeah, to give them fleshlights and porn. Would that help?
We, I think the problem with that, I think it might help, but I think the problem is that nobody on the outside wants to see the people on the inside enjoying it. They don't want to think they're going to prison and it's going to be fun. So I don't think it would ever happen, but it probably would do the job.
And
of,
it would end the show locked up on MSNBC, which I love. It would end that show.
It would end that show.
Exactly.
There would be a lot of problems.
All right. So you've got some homework, listeners. We need you to write an essay as to whether prisoners should get a fleshlight. That's going to be the topic. Please turn in your essay to kevinandbean.com. Don't miss Joe Rogan and pals at the Canyon Club, Agoura Hills. Go to canyonclub.net. The show is this Saturday night at 9. I know our audience always turns out for you, Joe, so yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a great show.
You guys have the best crowds, and you know that's one of the things I love about doing your April Foolishness event. You guys have the coolest people. The audience is always so cool,
and you bring it. And this past year, you broke your hand doing it. So
I almost did. I thought I did. I hit the stool accidentally. I misjudged my movements, and I whacked the stool. And like for like 3 seconds, I was like, I think I just busted my hand.
Joe gets a little animated.
Unfortunately, Joe, I shouldn't tell you this on the air, but next year we're replacing you with a robot comedian. So it's going to be safer. And UFC 18 at the end of the month, joerogan.net, I think is the website. Thanks for coming
in, sir. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:58.
A lot of yelling going on here. What's happening?
Shut up!
Ralph Garman joins us with the showbiz.
Why, are you coming apart?
Really?
He joins us.
John Henson from Wipeout coming up just
after
the top of the hour.
Yesterday I heard it was Jim Henson. Who is it? Is it Jim Henson or John Henson?
Jim was unavailable, strangely, so we are going to talk to John.
So hoping that Jim Henson was going to walk through the door.
Hi, everybody.
That would have been something.
He was just faked his own death.
Ah!
What a scoop that would be.
Hi-ho! What a scoop that would be.
Seriously, if Jim Henson faked his own death, come on.
Yeah, faked my own death.
Would that be a kerfluffle? Would you say that?
Ah, sad, sad news. Scandalous. Donald Duck is just, he's gone off the rails. I think he's on the drugs again.
Oh, not again.
Yeah, apparently a woman visiting Epcot Center in Florida claimed she was groped by Donald Duck.
Wanker.
Please.
Apparently Donald grabbed her breast and molested her after she sought an autograph from the legendary Duck.
Please.
Then gestured with his hands as if to indicate he'd done nothing wrong. The woman is seeking $50,000 in damages for suffering, and I quote, severe physical injury, emotional anguish, and distress, including but not limited to post-traumatic stress disorder.
Come on.
I don't believe her for a second.
It seems a little extreme.
Listen, if a duck wearing a sailor shirt and no pants came up to you and molested you, you would go into post-traumatic stress disorder, too.
I'm saying once you start that job at Disney and you're told how to act, and no way.
What do you mean, what job at Disney? Donald Duck molested a woman. Did you not listen to my story?
I did, but I don't believe it.
On TV.
On TV.
She's just looking for money.
Donald reportedly said, bah, bah, bah. I don't know what that means. I don't speak duck.
All right.
Hollywood Reporter says Levi Johnston is shopping around a reality TV show where he will run for mayor of Wasilla, Alaska.
Yes.
Let's just flush him once and for all.
No, let's elect him. It would be awesome. You know I vote comedy.
Yeah.
Apparently,
let's elect him.
Having a hard time shopping this concept around.
Sure.
Maybe you should get a job.
Hollywood Reporter says one network executive contacted said, I'm just incredibly uninterested. We've seen him naked. We've heard him bash the Palins. What more is there really that we can know?
Incredibly not interested.
I'm incredibly not interested. Here's something.
Anyone can do that job, though. We did learn that,
That's true. It's not the hardest gig in the world. This is pretty cool. For those of you who've got the 3D TV, New York Giants and New England Patriots.
Wow.
On September 2nd, Hollywood Reporter says it'll be the first NFL game in 3D on TV.
Kevin, do you have the 3D TV?
No, and I was going to ask if anyone has seen it.
3D TV?
Yeah.
I've seen the new Sony 3D TVs.
At like a
at the Sony
show or whatever?
Sony store. There's one in the Beverly Center.
And how's it
and
look?
There's another one down in the Del Amo Mall, I think. It is unbelievable.
Really? So for football, it
would
be great?
I'll tell you, football would be amazing in 3D.
How much are they?
But you know what's spectacular in 3D is gaming. They're starting to develop 3D games. And when you play a first-person shooter game in 3D, it blows your skull off.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you've got the 3D TV, you can watch the Giants-Patriots game on September 2nd in 3D.
How are the glasses, Ralph?
Very comfortable and very cool. The Sony system is, it's a special television, 3D TV, but they also have their own proprietary 3D glasses that you wear that are powered. They're battery powered. So it you know, the technology is symbiotic between the two different sits, and it's so beyond just putting on the Roy Orbison glasses in the theater kind of thing.
So it's worth it?
I think so.
How much are
they? Do they make them in a triple X, XL for the glasses for Kevin?
Yeah, I need to know if they...
He needs like
my head.
He needs like a welding helmet technology. just put on a helmet like Iron Man.
I went to Step Up 3D and I passed out about halfway through.
Cutting the blood off to your brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't afford much of that, my friend. And I know we're running late, but real quick, apparently People Magazine has discerned that negotiations between Jennifer Lopez and American Idol have fallen through.
Oh.
Looks like J-Lo will not be a judge for the upcoming season of the show. Inside source tells People Magazine Jennifer's demands got way out of hand regarding the negotiations and her contract. And Fox
wasn't
just,
she lucky enough to be considered for that job?
Fox just had to say no. She was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just no room.
That would have been the best thing that happened in her career in a long time.
You were Kevin said?
Yeah, I did. Shockingly.
It wasn't 903.25. I would tell you how much room there was. Today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Affleck is 35 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart celebrates her 39th birthday, as does Michael Ian Black, a very funny man. Peter Krause from Parenthood and 6 Feet Under. He is 45. And Sir Mix-a-Lot. Legendary man who gave us Baby Got Back is 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love that Lisa May, who's been working on this show for years, is barely interested in it. But right now, she is so excited. She's on the edge of her chair getting ready to talk to her boyfriend, John Henson from Wipeout, your favorite show in the history of TV. Right, Lisa?
Honest to God, I cry because I laugh so hard every single time I see that show.
All right, don't embarrass us. Let's bring John back on the Kevin Beach Show. It's been a while since we caught up with him. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, and you know I make women cry whenever I meet them.
You are part of the reason, John.
Well, let me start by saying good day and big balls to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's I think that might be the greatest sign-off in the history of television.
Yeah, well, and it works. It works.
I'm just sad that Johnny Carson didn't live to see it.
I feel like I'm the Edward R. Murrow of reality.
So, John, tell me the truth here. Wipeout, of course, is a phenomenally successful show, so much that it's airing twice a week on ABC at 8. When you first started doing it, and they've tried lots of different Japanese game shows they've tried to import to America, and very rarely do they connect with the public over here, but did you have any idea that you'd be at one point looking into your third season of Wipeout?
You know, I don't think any of us anticipated this level of success of the show. I thought it might catch on to some degree just simply because the humor is so broad spectrum. It's that simple physical comedy of watching somebody fall down that
nothing
really
is funnier.
Spans every genre and age range and culture.
There's
know?
Nothing funnier than watching people fall down.
Really?
I don't know why.
It's Well, they should have called the show Schadenfreude, but I don't think nobody would have.
Why do you suppose so many people want to be on Wipeout? Is it because they think they really do have a chance at the money? Because if they watch it, they have to know if they go on the show, they're likely to end up in the drink somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's, of course, designed for failure. And,
right.
I think there's a combination of things. I think people, A, want to be on TV.
Right.
I think, you know, I'm always amazed by how many people just think it looks like fun. They, you know, come up to me on the street and they'll say, hey, can you get me on the course? I don't even really need to be on the show. I'll sign the waivers. I don't want to compete. I just want to do the course. And I think to myself, oh, so you want to do the course when there's no chance that you could win $50,000.
Yeah, that's smart.
A shrewd decision.
Do you get people who look at it, though, and go, I could do that. That's not difficult. You know, and then they get on the show or whatever, and they realize, of course, that it is difficult.
Oh, it's a horse of a different color when you get there, man. I mean, it's the equivalent of, you know, looking up at the high dive and being on top of the high dive.
Right. Yes, it's good
totally
point.
Totally different ball game.
Wipeout airs Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 on ABC. What is the fake diarrhea that you seem to shower all the contestants with made of, John?
It is actually diarrhea.
That is shocking.
I don't want to give away any special secrets, but no, they have a variety of non-toxic components that they shoot at these people, and there's no shortage of it, man. They get super soakers filled with this stuff and just abuse people with it. And
no kidding.
People seem to love it. That's the thing that I don't, you know, you're watching people fold themselves up into origami-like positions spinally and then pop up and they have a big grin on their face. I don't understand it.
Are you so happy that you're in the booth with the other John rather than have to be down there with the contestants getting splattered like Jill does every week?
I am so happy. I'm so comfy and cozy up in the booth. It's really... It's much better than standing next to somebody with you know, snot hanging out of their nose.
Speaking of Jill getting splattered,
which I rented, by the way, it was very good.
Yeah, I kept it out 3 weeks worth every penny.
We need to get her on the show.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? Our show?
Yes.
You know,
like I'm a little disappointed right now that we're talking to John and not Jill. I have to be honest.
Really, and let me tell you something. If you get Jill on the show, that's an in-studio, my friend.
All right.
Okay. All right. Doug, can you help us out with that?
Can you make that happen?
Do you know, this is a true story. Jill is so beautiful and has literally the body of a superhero, I believe is the way you would describe it.
Okay.
And she is always in increasingly smaller clothing. It's as if they went out and took, you know, an extra small shirt,
right,
and then soaked it in boiling hot water and threw it in a dryer for 4 days.
All right, let's start buying children's clothes.
Yeah, so I get out there to the set, and it can get kind of cold in the canyons, and I get there, and she is wearing a down jacket with a fur-lined hood, but it's midriff.
Yeah.
So I know.
It's for that unusual combination where it's so cold that you require a down jacket, but you still want to show your navel.
And I admire that.
I mean,
now let's get back to you helping us get her in the studio.
Yeah, I can listen. She lives down the street from me. I can go knock on her door right now and tell her she's got to go down
there.
Absolutely.
You go.
Okay.
I love her. She's great. She's so funny.
She's absolutely fantastic and couldn't be nicer.
Yeah.
She's from, I think, one of the Carolinas. She's from the same area that Jamie Presley's from. And I don't know what's in the water there, but I know where I'm retiring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good things. All right. Outstanding. 24 contestants competing for $50,000 in prize money on the new version of the obstacle course that includes the updated version of John's favorite Big Balls. Wipeout airs again tonight at 8 on ABC. Mr. Henson, always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Ralph Garman is here with one final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Looks like no J-Lo for American Idol. People Magazine is reporting that negotiations with Jennifer Lopez and the producers of Idol have fallen through. She will not be a judge for the upcoming season of the show. Inside source says Jennifer's demands got way out of hand, and Fox just had to say no.
You know, it's funny. I would think that if I was Fox, the network.
Very much for saving us the time.
Running a tight ship here.
I'm just saying, no matter what I had in my schedule, if I was Fox, no matter what I had to do.
There's always room for J-Lo. Right, we got that, yeah.
I would try
always
to.
I would carve out some space for
Jennifer Lopez, because she's such a huge star.
There would never be a situation where there wasn't enough space for her.
And they would need to make space for her because of the size of her stardom and the eyes it would bring to the network.
You would think.
But I'm saying, if I was running a network.
Right, you would think.
I'm just saying, I would do it.
You would think that there's.
I know what you're saying. I would put her on my network if I had a network.
Okay.
Because there's always room for J-Lo. Is what I'm another day, another motion picture made into a big budget Broadway musical. Elf is the next one in the pipeline.
That's a great idea.
I'll tell you something. You know what's genius about this?
What?
Is that if you produce one of these, and you specifically if it's a Christmas show,
mm-hmm.
it will play around the world for the in perpetuity, as they say.
This better be in it.
Did you hear that?
There's our boy. There's our Will Ferrell enough. Because, for instance, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, they made a Broadway musical out of that.
And it plays around the country every Christmas time. It does a tour of the of all over. They have different companies doing it, and it's just it's a perennial moneymaker.
Yeah.
So Elf will be the same thing. It's opening around Christmas time on Broadway, as I mentioned. Apparently, theaters begin November the 2nd. No word yet on who will play Will's part or that of Zooey Deschanel, plays his love interest in that movie. But George Wendt from Cheers fame played Norm on Cheers. Remember Big Fat Norm?
Sure.
He's playing Santa Claus in the big Broadway version. So,
all right.
That much we know.
When people talk about Will Ferrell's best movies and they bring up things like Talladega Nights and Anchorman and maybe the other guys who's part of that conversation now, I hope they remember Elf because he's so unbelievably great in that.
Yeah, love that movie.
He wish us.
I agree.
Hidden Talents of the Stars.
Hidden Talents?
Mm-hmm. From Us Weekly Magazine, they've got a list.
Okay.
Fascinating stuff. Kristen Chenoweth, for example, can stick her whole fist in her mouth.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Gives me a whole new appreciation
you know her
for
from Glee, of course. A very talented singer and actress.
Wasn't a big fan before that piece of information.
Jamie Foxx is a professional level ping pong player.
Nope.
So am I. So
expert ping pong player. You know, you keep mouthing off about this like you do many things, Michael Clark Duncan.
I ran into how good you are
at ping pong, and yet no one has ever seen you play ping pong.
I'm not good at ping pong. I'm great at ping pong. But I ran into a guy yesterday. He's like, I just heard the end of something. Who are you fighting?
He's fighting Michael Clark Duncan. We are putting that together as
I said,
we
I'm not fighting anyone.
If you're fighting him, I don't care if you'd be conscious or unconscious. You're fighting him.
Not going
to happen. If I have to give you a roofie and just push you into the ring, there's going to be
it's not going to be much of a fight,
well,
though.
Whatever it takes, then you should
It's not going to be much of a fight anyway, by the way. By the way, it's a shame, Kevin, that you're off Entourage this year because they've had a plot line with John Stamos being hardcore at ping pong, taking on Johnny Drama. They did some serious ping pong playing this episode a couple weeks ago.
Jamie Presley's secret talent is she can walk on her hands with her feet behind her head.
See, now we're getting somewhere.
How awesome is that?
I'd just like to see that a lot.
It's like a contortionist. Steve Carell plays an excellent baritone trumpet.
Now, is this just a list, or is it a TV show, or
no,
what?
No, it's just a list.
Just a list.
Okay.
It would be cool if there was a TV show, but I don't think these stars would go on and show their hidden talents. And then this is bogus on this list. You know, the actress Emmy Rossum, lovely young actress.
Oh, yeah.
She makes an awesome snow cone, it says here.
Come on, talent. Snow cone. It's ice.
Unless she makes it with an orifice of her body. Unless snow cone actually comes out of her somewhere. I'm not interested in that.
It's not a talent.
It's not a talent.
Right.
No, I reject you totally. You ever wonder how Russell Brand landed Katy Perry?
Yes. Yeah. Often.
Take notes, fellas. Us Weekly says that Katy tells the story when they first met that she asked him to sign a copy of his book for her on their first date.
Okay.
When she read what he wrote inside, it said, "You are a mermaid and I am drowning."
Wow.
Wow, man.
Lisa, does that work?
Sucks.
It's kind of hot.
None of us could pull that off.
"You are a mermaid and I am drowning." See, she's the thing that's going to save him, man.
Yeah.
Women love to save dudes.
Yeah. They do.
But which one of us could come up with that?
She said, "I fell in love on the spot."
I know, Lisa.
Fell in love with, but yeah, at least we know the answer.
We know.
It was rhetorical.
We don't need your answer.
Just in case you were wondering.
We know.
Damn. Hey, Kevin, you'll be glad to know they're releasing some new Beatles albums.
All right.
Yeah.
I hope it's stuff that they've already released a bunch of times.
Oddly enough, these are collections of their greatest hits.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember back in the days of vinyl, but you remember the blue and the red albums? They were double album sets, and they had their greatest hits split up into like two parts, the early years and the later years?
No.
You remember the blue and the red, right?
I don't.
You remember them.
I don't.
But I'm saying you remember
But I don't. Keep anyway, going.
They're,
I don't.
They're remastering and re-releasing both of those
sets. That's such great news.
In October, you'll be able to buy even more Beatles stuff on CD.
You know, there are several Beatles albums still not on CD, Kevin, that a lot of us fans are waiting for. Beatles love songs, Beatles rock and roll music, Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, they've still got some money in the bank if they want to go for it.
Who gives a damn?
Arcade Fire scored its first U.S. chart topper this week.
Yay!
That's a good album.
Band's latest release, The Suburbs, sold 156,000 copies for this week. That makes it number one at Billboard's 200 albums chart. Congratulations to the Canadians.
Who gives a damn?
Oh, wait. Illegal aliens coming here taking our jobs. What, American bands can't be at the top of the Billboard 200?
It's a good album.
Gonna go with the Foreigners?
Yeah.
Arcade Fire Suburbs is number one. Then Eminem's Recovery is number two. Avenged Sevenfold with their album Nightmare is number three. Then Bun B with Trilogy. Anyone?
Bun is good.
Bun B?
No, I don't know that one.
Rick Ross?
Yeah.
The Teflon Don? Lady Gaga, the remix, was sixth on the list. Justin Bieber, My World 2.0.
If you haven't seen get hit in the head with a water bottle, you have to go to thekevinandbean.com and the Internet Roundup and watch that.
Drake, Thank Me Later, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now, and Buck Cherry All Night Long, and its debut came in at number 10. So that's your top 10 CDs in these United States of ours. Stephen Hawking says it's time for us to get off the planet, by the way. I don't know if you heard that or not. He says it's time to build a spaceship and get off Earth.
Yeah, that's he's lost it.
Hey, you know what, genius?
Yeah,
if anybody's going to be able to build a spaceship that gets us off Earth, that's probably you. Stop telling us to do it.
But how many of us can go at one time? Enough to keep the species alive on another planet?
I think walking people first. That's what I think.
Sorry, doctor.
I think you want the best and the brightest up there. I think you want to raise the genetic bar, as it were. I don't know if we know we need Crippy McRoll along to be breeding out there on Mars when we finally land. That's all I know. So you better shut his effing mouth. Because he's been left behind for the asteroid hit or whatever else is coming. He's going to be here.
Don't need him passing on his defects.
That's right.
Nice.
And you may have read this week that Jesse James and Sandra Bullock were spotted walking together in Long Beach, California on Monday.
Who gives a damn?
That is just not the case. Mm. It was reported that they were talking, but in reality, it turns out the brunette that James was photographed with was not, in fact, his estranged wife. It was a young lady named Hildy Katabah.
Hi. It made me sad.
Who is the head of Pay Up Sucker Productions. Her company apparently does business with West Coast Choppers, Jesse's business, and that's why the two were talking. And some paparazzi thought it was Sandra and started snapping away, and someone published the pictures, and then someone said it was Sandra Bullock, that's how it works.
You're a celebrity.
You cheated on your wife?
Yep.
Yep.
You're a celebrity. Every picture that gets taken of you is your newest crush.
It's open to interpretation, as they say. And finally, some good news. You know the comic strip Kathy? You ever seen that comic strip in the newspaper? Kathy?
Yes. No.
Oh, I like chocolate. Ack! Oh, this bathing suit doesn't fit. Ack! F her!
That's another one of those comics that has millions of dollars in merchandising with cups and calendars and all sorts of nonsense.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of lonely women out there who like Oreos and have no boyfriends. They love Kathy. Ah. Well, the good news is Sunday, October 3rd, will be the final Kathy strip.
Oh, really?
They're killing it. Yeah, sorry, Kathy's going away. Sorry.
Stop crying.
Kathy started in newspapers in 1976.
Hang on, Ralph. You have to let the emotion out.
She's been at it for 34 years, and it's time for her to say goodbye.
I have never found comics. Is this a newspaper?
A newspaper comic strip, yes.
Never found one that's funny.
There are some funny. I used to love Bloom County by a guy named Burke Breathitt, who used to be a very funny artist and writer.
He used to live on the island, by the way.
Opus the Penguin. I remember Opus the Penguin. No. You ever see that character? Anyway, I used to like that strip.
What about the Far Side?
Far Side was awesome.
That's funny.
I always enjoyed Doonesbury's strips. I like those. A lot of words in Doonesbury for you. You probably wouldn't like that one.
I loved The Angriest Dog in the World, the David Lynch comic strip, which didn't make traditional newspapers, was in all the alternative newspapers. And what was the one, the Love is Hell, the Matt Groening comic, was hilarious.
That's right, yeah.
Remember that?
I don't even know what that is.
It was a comic strip where Matt Groening got his break before Simpsons he was doing
that. Akbar and Jeff were the main characters on that. It was great.
Right. Who gives a damn?
Kevin is checked out. He's just pushing buttons over there. He's not even listening anymore.
Who gives a damn?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Affleck is 35 years old today. Tennis player Pete Sampras is 39 years old. Rebecca Gayhart celebrates her 39th birthday, as does Michael Ian Black. Peter Krause from Parenthood is 45 years old today. And the legendary Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. Uh-huh. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh,
rubber
soles. Sir Mix-a-Lot is 47 years old. Remember the good old days of the Kevin Bean party machine?
Oh, yeah.
That was
a
standard. That was a standard. We used to crack that one open about every couple of months. We would have that song on
until the
show.
Communists took that show over.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the socialist Obama got in the office?
That's right, man.
He told us to go back to Kenya.
All ended.
That's what happens when you elect a non-American. I know.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have a, I don't know, probably a 25% chance of Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Would you say that's accurate? 25%?
That's a good bet.
Probably. LaQuisha will be here talking about Jersey Shore. We have smokeout tickets. We have movie beat because it's Friday. We have somebody on to tell you about an auction of all lost memorabilia.
Oh, I've seen this stuff they're auctioning off. It's so cool.
And we have Kevin Smith.
Great.
What? Wow. That's a show.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next. By the way, she should play the Sir Mix-a-Lot song in the Cat's Box today.
Yes.
It'd be awesome to hear the whole song, right? Box. Plus, we got some Rise Against, also Phoenix, and the brand-new song from Jimmy Eat World. Stick around if you've not yet heard My Best Theory. That's all coming up right here on K-Rock.